I'll be back. I answered on my phone, so I'll be upstairs to my other rig in just a minute, okay?
This is so freaky watching. Walk around like that. Oh, he's circling. He's making me sick.
I got to do one chore, and then I'll be on in probably 20 minutes, okay?
Yeah, sure. Put your eye right up to the camera. See ya. You didn't go away. Please don't go to the bathroom. You're still online, sir. Okay. Wade, you there?
I'm here.
Scott's here, too.
So glad I don't have video turned on.
Oh, my God. I was just paranoid that he was going to go to the chore that he had to do was go to the restroom. His camera was still on his phone.
And we're live in 3, 2...
Scott, you there?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess he is then.
Yeah, it's Scott.
Oh, Lee, I forgot to invite Lee. That's the person I was missing.
Oh, must you?
Dag.
Lee's calling me now on Skype going, why haven't you invited me?
Yeah.
Invite.
He's going to kick your ass.
Lee's here.
Hi, Lee.
No video.
What?
Said no video.
Hide a ho.
Who's the ho? Why are we hiding her?
Lee.
I said hidey ho. Oh my goodness.
What? What's happening?
Nothing. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Just
what's happening with you guys?
Just confused as usual. That's just me.
Well, I have so much going on. It's just not even funny. So.
Well, this is a comedy podcast. Thanks for playing.
Yeah. Sorry. So I have a blind. My dog's blind.
What?
Oh, again, comedy podcast, mm-hmm. Lee.
Yeah.
Way to bring it down. No, what happened?
Don't know. Basically, she. It is called sudden acute retinal failure. It happens in some dogs. We noticed in June she didn't want to go down the stairs in our house, and we thought it was just she had maybe fallen or hurt some joints. She's 8 years old. She's a little older, small dog. So took her to the vet, and the vet's like, yep. And then we took her again because we realized she can't see, because over the July 4th weekend, we realized we were holding out treats, and unless we put them right near her nose, she couldn't get to them. But what's really – it has been – because we were on vacation last week, and we took her with us to a beach house she's been to before, but this is when we could really tell, because the poor little thing, as you all know, is a doofus. But she's my lovable doofus, but she was running into walls. She was trying to come in the house and running into the side of the house because she couldn't see – because I'm standing at the open door calling her, and she can't – yeah. So I loves her, but poor baby.
Now, is this permanent or what?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's nothing they can do. I mean, there's just – it's done. Nothing they can do. It just happens to some dogs. But she's fine otherwise. She's perfectly healthy otherwise.
Fucking sorry
today
to hear that.
Hi.
That.
So much going on.
That sucks.
So much. It's okay. She's a sweetie, and she's kind of liking it though in a way, because she's getting more treats, and so woohoo. So how's everything else going? Hi. Sorry to bring it downer.
I saw the world.
We went to go see Transformers. You want to talk about comedy?
That's not comedy. That's tragedy too.
You saw the world what?
No. Go ahead with your Transformers talk.
Yeah, did John you invoked see, it.
He, oh, it was awful. It was painfully awful. I mean, it was painfully bad. It wasn't even funny bad. It was just bad.
Why did you see it?
However, the 6-year-old and the 2 15-year-olds kept saying, well, it wasn't that bad. Yes, it was. Well, because the 6-year-old and the 15-year-olds wanted to.
I think you should show them Bad Boys.
Yeah, they're young. They don't know any better. And even they did admit, the 2 15-year-olds, that later when we were like, come on, it didn't make any sense. There was this that didn't make any sense. And there are so many things that don't make sense, I didn't even keep a list. The whole movie don't make no sense.
By the way, I'm curious.
Stupid.
I'm curious, what did Mark Wahlberg transform into?
Not an actor.
We found a Transformer. We found a Transformer,
not
dudes.
Not an actor. He transformed into like an action star because he could figure out how to use all the weapons. It was really dumb.
Well,
he's dumb.
He's been action before.
Yes.
He was in The Big Hit, which was actually quite good.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a big hit, though, unfortunately.
No, it was not.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah. Did you see it? I'm not sure you can see it from space, but. So I went and saw the world premiere of Marvel Live, Marvel Universe Live.
Oh, that's right. How was it?
They for whatever reason started the whole thing in Tampa, even though, as I learned later, the actual premiere is not until New York, which is like a couple months away.
Oh, so you're previews. You're like Connecticut for Broadway.
Yeah, and we were the first preview. As I've told many of the folks that have asked, I would like to see it 2 months from now after they've, you know, worked out all the kinks. And I don't mean that in the way you think, Scott.
Damn.
Yes,
he does.
Cause
he was talking about Ray Davies, Scott.
They missed their marks a couple of times, and some of the things were, like, not quite hitting right. But I got to say, overall, and especially judging from the kids and actually some of the overexcited parents, it was a success. I mean, it is what it is. It's an auditorium show. If you had the circus without actually having animals.
Now, so what is the?
Well,
is
it's Marvel on Ice without ice.
Yes.
That could be anything. Is there a premise? Is there a plot? Or is it just?
There is a plot. There's a whole story that goes on.
Okay.
So the premise is that, and this will sound familiar, that Thor has broken the cosmic cube and shattered it, and for whatever reason decided to spread it across Earth. Because, you know, that's always a good idea. And will never lead to any problems.
Yeah. And this person called Thor is a man, yes?
In this case, yes. Not a frog. He shatters it and then sends it all over the place. And, of course, Loki shows up. And Loki's like, oh, I'm going to find all these pieces. And then S.H.I.E.L.D. Finds out about it and decides to stop their plans by calling in the Avengers. And then, surprise, I don't know if I should ruin it for you, but the number of characters that actually appear in the movie, in the show, is a surprising amount of characters. And actually, I'll go ahead and say it, because, you know, whatever. It doesn't really ruin anything. It's not like you don't figure out where it's going to go.
Do we need the Marvel Heroes on Ice spoiled for us? Is that what we're getting to?
Yes. Okay. If you don't want it spoiled, skip ahead.
Come in on ATVs like they do at Universal Studios?
No, they actually come in the case of Maria Hill and Nick Fury, they come in on dune buggies.
No.
Yeah, they drive around and there are people on motorcycles, on two-wheel motorcycles. Basically, it's like a stunt show, a really extended long stunt show with a really decent plot.
I feel bad that they didn't reuse the helicopter from Miss Saigon, because that would have been a way to get him in.
Well, they sort of did. So
is Hawkeye in it?
Hawkeye is in it. Interestingly enough, if you watch any of the previews, any of the videos they have online, this is even more interesting. At the very beginning of the show, they say, "We want you to film this. We want you to take pictures. We want you to share it with the world. Just don't do it for money."
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, literally, that is what they said at the very beginning. Well, Jarvis said that at the very beginning. But Jarvis also had a problem with
Jarvis?
There's just a voice over over the... But,
is it Paul Bettany?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I doubt it.
It usually is.
It could be. Where is it going? Oh, yeah, Jarvis came on at the very beginning of the show and goes... attention, Marvel Universe Live will begin in 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. You know, 15 minutes later, Jarvis comes on and says it'll be 3 minutes. So,
God damn it, Kang!
Yeah, screw with time. But so
Beast, Kang.
Cyclops and Storm appear in costume in the show. So it's an interesting thing because I'm trying to figure out how this works with Universal, right? So those two guys, those two folks appear. They actually don't do much of anything in the show, but they do appear. They're actually sort of a MacGuffin for the show. Who is making all the noise?
John, you've gone underwater.
Yes.
Was it me that went underwater?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, it's still underwater right now. How about right now?
You're fine now. Fascinating.
Okay.
So I'm assuming you're about to talk about Namor's appearance in
Namor
the show.
Namor
so
appeared in the show. No, I'm just kidding. Namor doesn't appear in any show. What are you kidding me?
Who's that, a pool? Oh, he can't. God. There's right tissues.
So, of course, Spider-Man was also there. Spider-Man was there, which also is curious.
What?
Yeah, Spider-Man was there.
Well, he's an Avenger. Was Wolverine in it?
Wolverine was in it.
That's what then it can't be a Marvel thing without Wolverine for the next few months, at least.
Wolverine was there. Going back to the Hawkeye question, yes, Hawkeye's there. If you watch any of the previews, it looks like he's actually pulling bows out, arrows out, and he's going to be doing stunt shooting, right? During the not once did the arrow actually touch a bow. He would reach back like he was doing it, and then do it like that. But there would be a light effect that would actually, you know.
So basically, it's like Hawkeye. Hawkeye's bow is like that kid from the Dungeons and Dragons animated series.
Pretty much. Actually, that's a very good analogy. They appear. Falcon appears. Now, let me just say this about the Falcon.
Oh, is Falcon Captain America yet?
If you go to see the show, they don't let him do Jack. They don't let either of the black folks do Jack. They don't even
Which two black folks are there? There's Sam Wilson and who else?
There's Storm and Falcon. And well, I guess Fury does actually get to do some stuff like get captured, things like that. I don't think he actually gets captured anyway. I'm going to say, and spoil this too, the Falcon doesn't fly. For whatever reason, he does not fly. And the only one thing he does is he hits somebody with his wings, and that's the extent of what he does. He doesn't even, I think he has like two lines in the entire show, but he's in it for most of the show. Thor. Let me see. Also, so then there's also, of course, what they do is they break off, and again, you can see most of this online anyway. They break off and go to basically each of their villains' main areas. There's like three main stories. There are three main big fights that go on. There's one for AIM. There's one for the Sinister Six, which actually was fairly cool. Who did AIM, which was there's also the big fight at the end with Loki and all of his crew. I'm trying to think of who the other big villain portion was. There's three of them. There's Captain America. Oh, Red Skull. Red Skull, which, by the way, Red Skull looks freaking awesome in the show. I mean, I was actually surprised. I thought that would be like just some guy in red paint. But no, they spent some time on his prosthetics. So
I would love it if basically the end was a celestial just stomped all of them.
Well, it sounds like they put all their money in that skull and not in rehearsal time.
Well, no, again, I don't want to give it. It was the very first performance, essentially, in front of a packed, you know, house.
So that means they should be fairly
John, let me just in their defense, Scott, so how many Mickey Faust shows involve motorcycle stunts and dune buggies?
Pyrotechnics, lasers, fire, even folks on fire, throwing of shields.
We have plenty of flaming people, but that's beside the point.
People throwing shields and whatnot. And invisible arrows. How many of Mickey Faust involve invisible arrows?
Oh,
Lee may or may not have involved actually saying flame on.
I just want to say that, again, my son, after seeing Fantastic Four when he was however old, ran out of the theater going, Flamer! So, you know, hey, I'm just saying.
Well, and we've already seen Scott really turn it on and have his Nova Flame, so.
So if I had two complaints about the show. Besides,
what, nobody? Never mind.
Besides, there is a Marvel geek somewhere laughing his ass off right about now.
Good.
So if I had two complaints, one, Iron Man could use to go on a low carb diet because that suit was not he was a little short and a little big. And I think that might have to do with just, you know, how the hell do you actually get a Iron Man suit that you can actually walk around in for real?
Well, yeah, one of the things I loved about the behind the scenes thing was them talking about trying to find someone with the right body shape who could basically be the double in the suit. Since usually when you see the suit, he's, you know, if Downey's in the suit, he's not wearing the legs.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, well, if you can fit the helmet, you got the job. And he said, we had people in there just straight in to cram their skull in this thing, wanting that job so bad.
Yeah, so he could stand to lose some weight. And Peter Parker, although a couple of my friends thought that the guy who played Peter Parker was perfect, or played Spider-Man was perfect. Oh, spoiler alert, Spider-Man is Peter Parker. Or Peter
but
Parker
does he reveal it? No, of course he doesn't. Because you never take off the mask, Peter. Fucking Marvel.
So,
why'd you do that, John?
I felt like he could have.
Which, they undid that. It's okay.
I felt like he could have stood to not be so hyper. Because when he wasn't, for whatever reason, it was the choreographer's fault, really. For whatever reason, when they first of all had him skateboard in, so there's also skateboard stunts, of course.
Oh God!
And he, you know, did all these whatever random tricks, but he was also doing backflips. Well, he's Peter Parker, doing backflips, and every time that he would move, instead of like going to sit down or move to the forward part of the stage, he would actually like tumble and flip over to that direction. So like saying, "Hey, look at me! I can move around a lot like Spider-Man," which to me was annoying. To other folks, it was like, oh, that's so cool. But I was just like, eh, I don't know that Peter Parker goes around flipping in front of everybody. But so that would be my main complaint. Other than that, when he played Spider-Man, awesome. Now back to Scott's point about the being, you know, ready to go. I'm almost 100% positive. Oh, by the way, Scarlet Witch.
Scarlett Johansson.
Black Widow was awesome as well.
Scarlett from G.I. Joe.
Black Lucy. Widow. The lady who played Black Widow was awesome as well. But
Scarlett O'Hara.
Scarlett, yes. That's who played Black Widow in this version. So where was I going with this? Oh, when he was Spider-Man, it was freaking awesome. That's when it made sense. And they did have people flying all over the place. You know, there's a lot of wire work and things like that. So it was actually pretty cool. And you know what's going to happen, so I'm going to say it too. Anyway, the Hulk does make an appearance. So it's actually pretty pretty interesting. They did a good job with the Hulk. The only thing I would say is that particular effect, or that particular way that they did it, you actually know what's happening, because if you look at the video online from the promotional video, you can tell what's going to be the Hulk. But that particular effect could have done with less lighting. So it would have been better if it was a little more dark to kind of hide some of the imperfections in the way that he moved and things like that. But other than that, it was actually a pretty cool effect that they did with him to pull it off live. He actually looked better, I think, than Iron Man did. Other than that, it was again, it was a really good show. I think that from a story perspective, and if I think it's coming to Atlanta, I'm not positive, but I would
Christmas, I think.
Yeah, I think by then it'll be all tuned up and perfect. I think one of the things too is that you might not want to go to the first performance in your town, because it's always going to be a new venue and it's going to be difficult to you know, they're gonna have to make changes to each show, so they're not gonna necessarily know what's gonna to work based on the dimensions of the arena that they're playing in. But it really was essentially the circuit. Oh, because they even had, it's put on by Feld Entertainment, and they were selling all the whiz bang stuff at the, you know, at the entrance, that, you know, lights that activate and all this other stuff. And then they sell this wristwatch that they call the interactive wristwatch thing for like $25. And the best I can tell is all it does is light up. So good on you, Marvel.
Did they have a bow and a quiver? Did they have a bow and a quiver?
No, they did not. I don't think they had a Hawkeye anything.
So did they have NFL Super Pro?
Yes,
because
they
have to.
They did.
That's awesome.
So that was the only thing I have to report on, other than Leftovers is good.
Leftovers? Really?
The Leftovers is good. That's going back to the last episode when I had a wonderful review of The Leftovers.
Oh, so it's continued to be good?
Yes.
I want to see The Strain. I've on my vacation, I actually read, finally, two of the three books, and I've got the third one now to read, and they are fun summer reads, so I want to see the show now, too.
Yeah, because the, what is it, just one episode's out of that, right, or is it two? Something.
One or two, I think, now.
Okay.
I have, and it came out while I was on vacation, so I didn't get to see it. But the books are really, they're a fun, quick summer. That's exactly what I would call them, as a summer read. They're a fun, quick read.
Cool.
And they also are kind of gross to read. So cool. So yeah, and Transformers, bad. Widge, did you go see it?
No. Because it was sort of pointless to go, because it's like, you know.
We all know what you're going to get out of that shit bucket.
Well, I'm like, really? So we've gone to the Dino Transformers, okay? Now next comes the Insect Transformers, and then we'll have the McDonald's Happy Meal Transformers, where they had fries and burgers.
Oh God, are they gonna have that creepy face that they have on the Happy Meals now?
Oh, what? There's a creepy face on the Happy Meals.
Have you seen those?
I don't buy Happy Meals, Scott.
Well, it's been all over.
That's why. You're not very happy, Widge.
He's grumpy. He buys grumpy meals.
No. Yeah, it's true. I buy grumpy meals. They're made of grumpy cat, but I can't eat it because I'm allergic to cat, so it's makes me even grumpier.
So that means they're like a film away from like having Maroon 5 cover The Touch?
Yes. Exactly. And then Maroon 5 formed Voltron.
Oh, God.
What?
Oh, God.
You got the touch.
But, you know, I think what's funny is when the Transformers first came out, I was the one in our family who wanted to go see it because it was 2 hours of shit blowing up. And the first one was fun for that. This was terrible.
How old was your kid with you?
Yeah.
Did he have questions about masturbation after the first movie?
No.
What? Okay. What?
Don't he was remember? Too little. No, he was too little.
There was a Camaro in it, Scott, but it doesn't do that to straight guys.
And it wasn't that bitch in a Camaro.
Maybe Megan Fox? I don't know. I guess she's appealing to a few people.
In the movie, the mom asks the guy, you know, is the reason that you're hiding out and doing stuff is because you're masturbating? Don't you remember that?
Man,
I do remember that.
I watched that movie, so no.
Yeah.
Well, no, I will say no, that not. However, I can, watching Defiance with my child recently has been very uncomfortable, so.
Well, I say if your child is exhibiting defiance, you just lock them in the basement until they come to their senses.
I wish.
I mean, that's how we did it old school. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't have a basement.
Oh, well, see, that was your first mistake.
And my garden's not doing well either.
Don't you have, like, enough Canadian television
euphemism,
you can
right?
force them to watch?
Probably.
How much Canadian television is there, really?
Orphan Black. There's a lot of Canadian television, mostly because so many shows are filmed there, especially genre. But he's loving Orphan Black, too. I mean, he's just, gosh, he loves it.
I noticed how many times in the first season they keep talking about New York, New York, New York, and then second season they don't even say it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, crap. We're in Canada. You guys know.
You know we're in Canada. Well, I mean, what's so funny is people keep saying – people will say to me, like, oh, well, it's a BBC show. And I'm like, it has nothing – no. It's no more a BBC show than – it's no more a British show than something being on Fox makes it, you know, right wing. I'm trying to – yeah. No, I mean,
that's
it's
because
not.
Because David Tennant's on one show this fall. Come on.
Yeah, I know. Well, the other – I mean, yeah. I can't wait to see The Intruders. I got like a week. No, I've got like a month. I can't wait for that one. That looks so, it's one of my favorite X-Files writers, so.
Yeah, Intruders starts what, the week after Who comes back?
August 23rd, so I don't
know. The same night Who comes back.
Might be.
Now, is this a remake of the series or is it something new?
No. It's something new, and it's a all they're really saying it is a conspiracy show. They're not telling you who the intruders are or anything like that. It is being produced by Glenn Morgan, who produced the good years of the X-Files, and then went off with Wong and did Space, which just was bad.
Yeah, this is the John Sam Mira Sorvino show, right?
Uh-huh. And got a couple of other the guy that you see in so many other shows that plays the weird bad guy, the kind of offsetting bad guy. I can't remember his name, but yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. I think it looks really good, and I'm ready for Hannibal to be back. Oh, Serve, you're the only one who will care. Less than 40 days till college football starts.
Oh, I know. And it starts with South Carolina and Texas A&M. That should be a pretty full-scale tilt.
That should be fun.
And that's that the Thursday before Dragon Con, of all things.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Hi, this is Rob. You've reached my mobile. Please leave your number.
Mobile?
Yeah. Down here, we call that mobile. How pretentious.
I tell you.
Anyway. Depends on the day.
I was on mute, so no one heard me. Anyway.
What did you say?
This time.
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing important.
Yeah. Now, is the Intruders, is it BBC America? Who's doing it?
Yeah, it's BBCA, yeah.
Oh, God.
But it's also, again, I think, in production with CBC, just like Orphan Black.
Well,
which means
actually,
Canadian
I think this is BBC America, BBC, and CBC. I think BBC
and
is actually
who?
Putting down cash for this one.
Oh, wow. Really?
I think BBC's involved.
Okay, and who BBC, CBC, and who else?
BBC America, I think.
Oh, okay. Oh,
as
my God,
as,
they're really putting money in. Oh,
as long
God.
As it's better than copper.
Well, no, because Sim's in it, so they can sell it.
You know, true. Copper had such
although
a Mad great premise.
Got options, so I'm curious about that. I'm sorry.
Well, Copper was depressing not only because it really had no idea what it was doing, and also it was like, oh, well, if I wanted to watch this show, I would watch Ripper Street. Yay.
Yeah, well, it just was painful.
Yeah, it was. I lasted one episode. That's about my that's the length of my television trial is one episode, and I'll you know what's that? What was that?
Lee,
what happened, Lee?
Use your words.
You're a big girl
I think
now.
Lee used her flash
are you asleep?
Powers.
Nurse, Lee's had narcolepsy again.
She can't be asleep. We'd hear her snoring.
True.
I'm here. Mitch is very robo to me.
Well, you sound robo to me. So there.
Am I here?
You're there.
You're robo-y. John, I'm
Robo Lee. All right, hold on.
Can't hear you.
No, I was not talking. That's probably why you couldn't hear me.
Mm. Yeah.
Sir, if I can
I wasn't
hear you
talking
right
either,
now.
Actually.
Can,
but
can is anybody out there?
Am I any better now?
Yes. Yeah.
Anybody hear me?
Anybody
hey, John, does anybody wonder? Never mind. Sorry.
Stupid laptop.
So, well, I don't know when anything's. Are there really?
Is there anything funny going on? We're all talking about kind of depressing stuff.
Yeah, I'm gonna put something funny out there.
Do it.
Let me.
Okay.
Paste the link.
Oh God,
that's funny.
What is this? What?
Fat Axl Rose.
Oh dear God.
Why? I think you've just given us some reggae.
I think that would probably kill him, Tuffley, if he did. That is... Really?
Because look at it. Fat Axl Rose.
That's...
Dude, that is Fat Axl. I don't want...
No, that's... You know what? Wilford Brimley has come back and he's pissed.
Yeah. Yeah, and he colored his hair kind of reddish.
You know what this is? This is like... Okay, you remember when, like, DC was doing this whole...
I'm going...
What this is it's like Infinity Incorporated, where that was the sons and daughters of all the Justice...
Oh, my folks. God!
Okay, basically, this is like the Infinity Incorporated version of Sam Kinison.
Interesting. Welcome to Voodoo Donuts. I mean, the jungle.
What the hell happened there?
Actually, it looks like Axl's had a bit too much reggae.
Well, you know,
I think he got rid of the braids, so I don't know if that's good or not.
Well, yeah, I'm seeing a comparison with the braids, and I would say yes. That's just sort of terrifying.
That is wow. Take me down to the Bakery City. I think that's funny. There's a little Mimi on here. Take me down to the Bakery City where the pies have cream and the cakes are tasty. Yo, take me to the bakery.
You know, Mr. Brownstone makes you do funny things.
That
yeah, but it makes you lose weight, Tuffley. It doesn't make you gain weight like this.
Yeah, no. No. No, if you ever see somebody who is fat.
Makes you lose weight.
Yeah, if you ever see anybody fat, they're not doing coke or heroin. They're or meth. They're usually doing pot and donuts.
Well, I didn't say addiction. I said, you know, afterwards. Elvis.
Oh no, Elvis was taking uppers and downers and anything.
Yeah, there's always the fat pop star period. There always is. There just is.
Well, now, but I would actually be more in favor of this if he had the Vegas sequin suit, you know. And
jumpsuit.
Oh no, this is interesting. Cosette just sent me this, and it appears Lucy Lawless is joining S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
They don't know how many episodes or what she's going to be doing, but we'll probably find out at Comic-Con.
She's going to be the female Captain America because she can throw shields and stuff.
She's going to be Wonder Woman. Oh, wait. Wrong.
The last time I got excited about Lucy Lawless being on a TV show, that would be X-Files. And then she got pregnant and she was only on like 3 episodes. So I'm not getting excited until she's on like more than 3 episodes.
So do we know who she's supposed to be?
Nope. They haven't said.
Hey, Widge, can you check the tech internal group chat thingy here real quick?
Oh, yeah, hang on.
No, apparently they're either in rehearsals or they're starting to film, I think, for the season.
They started to film from something I read. All ABC shows started filming sometime in July.
Yeah.
And late June, early July. At least partly. So yes, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The actors have been putting out Instagrams, and so they are. Yes, they are filming.
That's where I'm guessing that from, because you know, oh, they're posting pictures again. That must mean they're shooting. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they started at least doing some stuff in January. Late June. So yes. Oh boy.
Well, are there any other shows coming up? Am I the only one afraid of what's its face? I can't believe it's Broadchurch, the American version.
I'm curious to see what the different ending is.
It is a different ending.
It would have to be, wouldn't it?
No.
They didn't do that for Life on Mars, so why would they do it?
Actually, they did for Life on Mars quite badly.
No. Just let her believe that John Sim and actually went to Mars.
I like that one better. Can I think that one again? It's been a while since I saw it.
No, because it's wrong.
And then Ashes starts on Mars.
Scott, you take all the fun out of my hopes and dreams.
Good.
Bastard.
Scott kills hope dead.
Especially if he's wearing that sparkly damn shirt.
First I blind them, then I kill them.
Now, let's not talk about blindness, Scott.
But that doesn't really bring about repeat business, does it?
What?
Huh?
It doesn't really bring about repeat customers, does it?
What, his shirt?
Well, blinding them and killing them.
Right.
Because
it's much easier to get blinded by the light.
Or you know, the light reflected from my sparkly shirt.
Yeah, Scott does kill hope. It's true.
See, I told you.
Yep.
See?
Oh, did you see the picture I posted of the Happy Meal? Happy Meal?
Yes.
No? It just has a big...
Click it, Widge.
I'm clicking.
Don't click it, Widge. Widge, you know better than click things Scott puts on there.
Okay, this is terrifying, but not in the usual Scott Link terrifying way.
See, that's what we were talking about. That shit is scary.
Okay, wait a minute. Has anyone seen that short film, Lights Out, the horror, like the 2-minute horror thing that they did that's online? Anyone? Basically about a woman who she gets home and she turns off the lights in her hallway.
She thinks she's not sure if the silhouette is a shadow or something trying to kill her.
Right.
This
honestly is the creature from that short film.
Although they really don't put the Happy Meals in those boxes anymore.
They don't?
Yeah, they put them in paper bags.
No, they put them in paper bags.
Usually they have a Happy Meal bag.
See, again, I don't buy Happy Meals, so I wouldn't know.
So it's completely wrong is basically what we're saying.
You need some small little chillin' around you to help you buy some Happy Meals, man.
Wait a minute. Let me think about that.
We should have been there for continuity for McDonald's, I know.
You know what? It's the fact that I'll post this on the show notes for anyone who's listening, but by my reckoning, the entirety of the box that is the torso / head of this creature, all of that is his mouth. So he is nothing but a mouth that eats.
I think that's what McDonald's wants from their children.
But it will eat your soul is what it looks like.
They want their customers submissive and eating. That's what they want. Yeah,
that's been the general topic of the memes involving this image is it's going to eat your soul.
Well, that's obvious. I mean,
after deep fries it.
So deep fried soul, that's not so bad, but
is that our child?
Wait, you don't mean the fish. Sorry.
No.
But no, this is absolutely terrifying.
It could be worse.
Well, it can always be worse, Lee.
It could be the Burger King.
Scott
could have small people that he has to buy Happy Meals for.
Yeah, especially I'd be like, where did all you small people come from? And they would have – it would be a Deep Roy. That's they'd all be Deep Roy. That would be the problem.
Do we have to have that talk, Wedge?
No, I'm not sure what talk you're talking about, but no, Scott.
You know what, Scott? I really don't want your version of Where Babies Come From.
No.
Baby.
The second. Adoption agency.
Seconded. Seconded. Don't want it.
Baby.
That's why every so often Scott goes to Babies R Us and is disappointed.
Fresh
baby,
out
don't
again.
Get to buy, baby. Don't get to buy Babies and Babies R Us.
Baby.
Why do they never stock that cooler? It's all unfair.
Ah, that's true. It's good to keep them nice and fresh.
No.
What?
No. No, there's no air in it. No.
Well, there can be.
Well, there is. That's how condensation and coldness
no.
happens.
No.
And that was Appliance Moment with Tuffley. That's important.
I saw riff tracks about that once.
About babies in a cooler?
No, about coolers.
Oh.
Huh? It doesn't matter. Stop.
It was a Frigidaire. It was a Frigidaire film about selling freezers for stores.
Okay.
Now, what about a koozie? Can you keep babies in a koozie?
Did you say koozie or yakuzie? Because that's I wouldn't want to give children to the mob unless that's your thing.
Well, now there's yakuzie, but there's yakuza, which is the mob. I thought it almost sounded like you were mispronouncing jacuzzi, which you don't want to put
no.
a baby into. Jacuzzi. Yeah, and it's jacuzzi. So
don't give your baby to any of those things.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be proctologists. What?
Why not? Proctologists.
I don't know.
This is why most of this podcast has no children.
Oh, no.
But you'd be partnered with a gambologist, so it'd be okay. But nobody? I'll do my own crickets, thanks.
Is that one cricket. Corner on Top Gear, Witch?
Yes. Yes, okay. It is.
Did we lose John?
John went to go lie down because we give him a headache.
Oh, well, poor baby. My poor baby, John.
So, who wants to hear about Rox's adventures in...
Yes!
Me!
Yes!
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 Well... Our friend Rox arrived in the greater Portland area on Thursday of last week, at which time we took a field trip and went to the state of Washington and purchased some legal stuff over there and then came back to Oregon, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some lunch downtown. We went by Voodoo Donuts, but since Rox is doing the no gluten, we did not go into Voodoo Donuts. We ate at a Vietnamese place.
Are you saying that they don't have any no gluten stuff there?
Well,
how could you be a Portland area restaurant and not have a no gluten option?
They hose you down with gluten when you walk in, Scott.
Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, and I could be wrong about this, but I don't think people go to Voodoo Donuts for health.
No. And I actually, Scott, as I remember from being in Voodoo Donuts, I think there is a sign that says, you know, we have fat and gluten and voodoo magic and other things. So they totally admit that it's bad for you.
But they do have vegan options, I believe.
They do have vegan options, yes.
So
yum yum vegan.
Vegan, yes. Gluten, no. It's tough to make a gluten-free donut. I'm sure that someone out there has found a way to do it, and it tastes like freaking cardboard. But
I think they're bagels,
it's not,
technically.
But chocolate-covered cardboard. So
I know what to get you for Christmas.
Hey. Although there's a better than that, there's a place here in Atlantic Station called Kilwin's, which has all
the ice cream shop.
Yeah, well, and chocolate and all kinds of stuff. But they have a sign on their door that I'm paraphrasing, but it essentially says, "We use so much in the way of goddamn peanuts that if you're allergic, the very air in here might fucking kill you. Please stay out."
Yep. Yay.
Because Shag loves kill wins.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. I like going in there every once in a while and seeing what crazy fucked up thing they have up there that's huge. They had like a huge, probably a 3 foot tall chocolate Santa Claus up on a shelf. And I was like, oh yeah. Yeah, I'll take some of that. Thanks. And they had a, they had some sort of new truffle thing that was like crazy combinations of stuff. Where are they? Hang on. Let me see if I can find this here.
Well, I know there, that Shag likes the Blue Moon ice cream.
What's that?
Well, it saw him standing alone, Scott. What, nobody?
I got it, but I didn't feel like laughing because it wasn't funny.
Oh,
so fine. What is in the Blue Moon ice cream?
Blue.
It's a just, lot of as far as I can tell, I've never had it, to be quite honest.
What?
Go, Tuffley.
A bunch of older gentlemen who can no longer sing.
So, well, I know it's blue in color and it's probably sweet, so take it from there. Smurfs, I don't know.
Yeah, or a new addition.
They had blue cheese toffee truffles. Sea salted bacon maple truffles.
Well, that's
and cool. Stout beer truffles.
Interesting.
Yes, I need to try
some of that. I'm not sure about the blue cheese. That seems a little off.
I'll try it.
It could be very strong.
Or it could be just a smidgen.
Or it could be delicious regardless. So.
Or it could be awesome. I love toffee, so. Yeah, good toffee.
So, then on Friday, I had to work, so Rox took her bicycle and went to the train, the light rail here in Portland, went downtown. And then after work, Dr. Jen and I took our nephew Jack out for his 6th birthday.
Aww.
And when we got back, are you ready? There was an entire plate piled full and high of evil voodoo donuts.
She couldn't stand it.
She had to go in and get them. She went back downtown. She got some donuts, brought them back out to the suburbs here. We had a pyramid of voodoo donuts.
Yay!
That rocks. You can't say bad things about rocks.
I was saying bad things about
rocks. She was a very good house guest. We had a good time while she was here. We have a tree fort out in the backyard, and she went and stayed in the tree fort for a while. She didn't sleep there. She mostly just hung out there and wrote in her journal, I think.
I'm sort of surprised she didn't get up there and try to secede from the Union just because.
Well, you know, she's threatened to come back, which, I mean, she's welcome to, but maybe that's in her plan. Maybe she wants to secure some armament.
And also, it seems like everybody's trying to do it nowadays, and Rox doesn't want to look like she's following the crowd.
Although, she did, she admitted, and maybe I shouldn't say this yet, I'm going to. She admitted that on an earlier leg of her trip, she had, you know, she traveled by train, she traveled by bicycle, by foot, by car. So she decided she needed to try something new, and she decided she was going to hitchhike.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's just a bad idea on many fronts, isn't it? But so she showed us the sign that she made, and the sign said, Zeppelin broke down, leave ride going west.
Nice. I thought I was going to say something like Mole Kingdom or bust.
Right. Well, the most awesome part of the story was a lady finally pulled over after like 45 minutes of her standing hitchhiking and said, where are you going? And Rox said, well, I just need to get west. So, you know, as far west as you're taking me. And the lady said, I hate to tell you this, but this highway runs north and south. So now I think we know why the Zeppelin broke down. She felt she was going in the westerly direction, but was probably going north.
Yep.
Damn winds.
So I believe that Rox got to catch up with JJ on Sunday before her train left for LA. But I don't know that for certain. And I believe that Rox is concluding the North American tour today / tomorrow with a flight from LA to Jacksonville, Florida.
Woohoo!
So that'll be like 2 months on tour. And
yep.
As most all of us know who have seen her around on this leg of the tour, or on whichever leg of the tour you saw her, she does not pack heavy. She had very little luggage with her. So what an adventure. Good for Rox. I commend her so much.
Well, it's probably easier for her because she's not cosplaying anything. She doesn't all have the steampunk, like, stuff that she usually has for Dragon Con, so she doesn't have to like ship everything by UPS or FedEx or one of those.
True.
Right.
Threatened to come to John next, so I think Tampa is still, I think there's maybe a makeup date coming for Tampa or something, so.
Well, I was about, I know she's going to be there before Conjure.
Well, and then she's going to Conjure.
Yes. And I am too. And you are.
No,
you aren't.
No,
because you're going. Yeah, you can't make both. But yeah, I'm going. I'm going to work.
Woo-hoo. Good for you. You're good. You got, most of you guys are going. Widge, you're going. Scott, are you going?
No, I can't. I can't swing it.
Boo.
He's tough.
Toughly, you going to make it?
We have house guests coming.
Well, that does take priority. Is it the Rox tour?
No, it's not the Rox tour.
No, and you're probably safe.
But it's kind of hard to have house guests coming over and going, yeah, we're going to Florida. You guys just tell
them. Here's a key. Don't burn the house down, please.
Talk to you later. Yeah.
Here's a key. No, go password. Have fun.
Yeah. Totally understand. Much better than Scott's excuse.
Scott's excuse sucks.
Scott has an excuse?
Scott left.
Not really.
Well, that'll show
Scott
me.
Left?
Well, fine.
Disappeared.
Be that way, Scott.
Wow, Scott. Sorry. I'll be back.
What are you sorry for? I was the one that apparently insulted him. I want full credit.
He's just pissed because now he wants Dune Buggies and Mickey Faust.
I want Dune Buggies.
What was the name of that?
Can we get Dune Buggies for the Fun Fest?
Oh, sure. What was the name of it? Was it just Speed Buggy? Is that the?
Yeah.
Speed Buggy, yeah.
Okay. All right, there you go.
Speed Buggy.
I think Speed Buggy should join the Defenders.
And the line of talking, anthropomorphic talking objects of Hanna-Barbera show of the 70s.
That's true. What you need is a League of Extraordinary Anthropomorphic Items.
And yeah.
They could be led by the Brave Little Toaster.
Yes.
I like it. Somebody get on that.
Or the GoBots.
I was going to ask.
Yes.
What was I going to ask?
Is that what you were going to ask that you don't know?
I did know. Did you get a t-shirt? Did you have the Rox of Spaz House t-shirts?
No. Apparently, they were either sold out or I was not allowed to have one.
Oh.
Or
she wasn't able to make up.
Right. We did take her to a rather cool ass bar here in Portland.
There are many of this.
Right. But this is one I had never been to, and Dr. Jen had been wanting to take me for a while, and the Rox impetus was here, so that caused us to have a car journey. There was no way we could really take public transportation out there, which is kind of the deal here in Portland. But we went out to the Kennedy School, which is it's a bar and restaurant. It's multiple bars and restaurants, actually, and an old elementary school.
Oh, wow.
And you are able to have drinks in detention. You are able to have drinks in honors. You are able to watch movies in the gymnasium. And it's actually a hotel. So it's been turned into a hotel and a bar and multiple bars and restaurants. We drank in the boiler room, which seems vaguely appropriate.
Did you have a boiler maker in the boiler room?
No, we had pear brandy, of course. Oh. Duh.
Oh, sorry. I that was my second choice.
Yes, of course. I mean, hello. But anyway, we were going to have drinks in detention, but you can also smoke cigars in detention, and lots of people were, and it was a little bit overpowering, so we opted not to.
They didn't play any Simple Minds in detention, did they?
They did not. Okay. Although, if you go on a Saturday morning, I bet they do.
Here's what I don't understand, though, is that really – in such a scenario, if you're going to have a place where people smoke, wouldn't it be the boys' room?
That would actually kind of be a cool feature, but alas, no. But I did visit the boys' room, and the urinals were quite small.
But about the size of normal ashtrays, I bet.
Well,
it would have been perfect.
About the size of seven-year-olds, but... You know, like, they're still like functional, so that's good.
Race. So, you know.
Aim well.
Well, you've reached welcome to level 7. This is going to be a tough one.
So,
gotta put
next
a little
time,
English on the stream.
Next time, Serv and Dr. Jen host Portland visitors, we can take you to the Kennedy School for drinking fun.
See, I'd like to point out that this really says a lot about America. It's like, well, the schools are in trouble. What should we do? I know. Let's turn them into multiple bars and places where you can eat and also a hotel. And you know what? I'm fine with that because honestly, if I had gone to school at such a place, I probably would have learned more.
You know, I think the honest truth about it is I think this was an old school that was going to be demolished, and the group that bought it, they have quite a few chains around the Portland and well, all over Seattle, up to Seattle and down to like Bend. So they have quite a few establishments, and they try and get historic buildings that are slated for destruction, buy them relatively cheap and fix them up and turn them into either hotels or hotels and bars and that sort of thing. It's a really great idea, and it's fun. Fun stuff.
That sounds cool.
So come on out to Portland, and we can go drinking in detention.
Was there much running in the hallways?
I did a little bit of running in the hallways, and no one told me to stop.
See, there you go. Then it was worth it.
Yes.
Nice. Well, that would be funny, though, is if you had to pay extra for a hall pass.
That actually would be kind of fun.
You can go into one section of the school, or you can get a hall pass and get them all.
Get your hall pass here, or you could forge a hall pass.
Speaking of which, did I mention before the bit about the underground – bouncy castle thing?
No.
What?
Okay. They have apparently... I forget... Ah, no! Die!
What?
Nothing. You probably didn't hear it on your side.
Okay.
Autoplay a video. Die. Nope. Everyone die.
Yeah, didn't hear it.
Autoplay is the most evil thing in the whole wide world.
Thanks, CBS News. You know what? Thanks to Google, I was reminded you exist. Anyway... apparently, they have I forget where I heard about this originally, but basically, they have a former mine in Wales that they have now put huge trampolines in to turn it into something called Bounce Below, which has 10,000 square feet worth of bouncy nets, and it is a giant underground trampoline. And so you can slide down between levels and whatnot. But yes, there's a picture here, and it looks insane.
So what, if you jump hard enough, you can impale yourself on a stalagmite?
Possibly, but I think that costs extra.
Is there a laser Pink Floyd show that's added to this at some point on, like, Sunday nights?
You know, can you imagine? Well, what I would want to do is I would want to find a nice Pink Floyd playlist to have in some earbuds while I was leaping around underground. And I wonder is there a recommended sort of psychedelic drug that one could take to make the experience more worthwhile?
So would the advert be the flying pig?
You've never seen pork like this. But yeah, no, it's funny. There's actually a place in Atlanta that is just a storefront in
the artist formerly known as Discovery Mills. I'm not sure what they call it now. It's like the mall store.
No, I don't think that's it. This is like up in Kennesaw, where they've just basically taken a bunch of bouncy castles and put them in a storefront, and you can host parties there.
Oh, they do. They've done that all over. Yeah, there's like lots of them around Atlanta now. Yeah.
But there was like an old, because it used to be, what was it? It used to be the old ESPN X Games thing.
That was. They now have one, well, over at, which is now Sugarloaf Mall or whatever.
Yes,
they have that place that is just filled with trampolines.
Yeah.
That's not bouncy houses. It's just filled with trampolines.
Yeah, and it used to be like, it actually used to be a little area for that, but it was like a skate park.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think originally it was like some sort of ESPN X Games thing, and then they lost the ESPN license, so the people who bought it, it was still a skate park, and I think maybe the same people still own it, except the skate park thing wasn't profitable, so they turned it into a big trampoline.
Well, that makes sense. That's a lot easier to get around.
It's like the size of a large mall store. Like one of the main tenants or something.
Nice.
And it's like huge.
I have to admit though, three levels and underground sounds like a big winner though. I would love to do that.
Well, and we'll have to verify this with Rob, but Rox was telling me about part of the St. Louis leg of the Rox tour, and Rob took her to the City Museum, which apparently isn't a museum at all. Apparently it's like a giant adult-sized indoor jungle gym with, you know, all sorts of climbing and
yeah, I think he mentioned that. I mix up my podcast life with my real life. I don't remember if he did say that on here or if he mentioned that to me. I have no idea.
Sort of like Sesame Place for adults.
Or Disney Quest with no arcade games. There is a did I mention speaking of places across the pond, there is a playground in the UK that apparently is decidedly unsafe for kids to play in. It's basically it looks like Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome in there. Have you seen this?
Nope.
Two kids enter.
I've seen the Dead Kids Park.
That's in Huntsville.
The one that was the Blobby Park. There's pictures of that.
Oh yeah, wait, it's a
theme park for the Blobby character. Used to be on the BBC, and they had a theme park for it. And it was run down.
I think I saved it to pocket. Find it. So the problem is if you just Google unsafe playgrounds, you get a lot of links that you don't want.
Dungeons Widge?
What's that?
Dungeons Widge?
No, actually.
Kids, ask your parents before you type that in.
I was thinking more along the lines of the fact that I was getting just news reports on unsafe playgrounds.
Oh.
But I appreciate you being Scott's understudy for the moment. No, okay, this is in North Wales as well.
Well, that was CBS News reporting dungeons.
It is called The Land, and it takes up an acre, and it basically is. It's just a place where kids can go and do the shit that we used to do, and you know, they have some supervision, but not a lot. Like, they talk about them lighting stuff on fire, and it's like, it's basically like a junkyard almost. So it is the opposite of the normal playground you see today with the soft flooring instead of pavement. And the whole jungle gym, everything is plastic and rounded. I have to send you guys this article. It's fascinating.
Well, I looked up The Land, Wales on Google, and the first two returns are Inside a European Adventure Playground by The Atlantic, which I'm like, okay, that, you know, that's an interesting title. Then compare that to the BBC News article, which is next, Junk Playground, The Land. So it is a junk playground.
So, well, it's good to know. Way to pick non-judgmental words there, Mr. Journalist. Unless junk means something different across the pond, which I don't think it does.
Large ass? No, I'm sorry. That's side of the pond. I'm sorry.
just a giant trampoline ass that you can bounce up and down on.
I think that was a Rolling Stones tour, actually.
And they sell milkshakes. They sell lots of milkshakes.
Well, it is what brings people to the yard.
I was waiting for that follow-up.
Oh, my God.
Well,
she has a new album, actually. It's quite good. But I'll throw that at plug. But
plugging the – anyway.
Plugging the Keyless album. Sorry.
Oh, dear God. I'm terrified.
As you should be.
So, I'm trying to think.
Don't start now.
I know. Well, that's why it hurts so much. That's why I think, I'm bleeding from the nose.
God damn it.
See, I don't. That is a question, though. I wonder this often.
Why are you podcasting and using Cerebro at the same time? Didn't they tell you to stop doing that?
Well, it's got that nifty sort of, leaping around and looking at smoky versions of people effect.
I thought you were going to say it has that nifty new computer scent.
Well, if I went back to the 60s, then yes. There you go. Weekend Justice First Class. Which would be kind of like, we need to get people in here to play us who are like 5 and 6 years old or something.
Do I get to pick who?
Oh, sure.
Sweet.
Oh, God.
So that means we get, like, fetus videos of Aaron?
What's that, Mr. Pool sperm? Oh! So, I'm wondering, though, how are we still alive? I mean, because shouldn't we all be dead, like, 12 times over? Or is it just me?
Oh, I should be. I mean, when I was a little kid, I used to ride in the back of an Oldsmobile in the place where the back window was. No seatbelt.
But
you rode the hatch?
Not in the hatch. You know, in the big old Oldsmobile 66, they had the back window. It wasn't a hatch because it was a four seater. It was like a back deck. Yeah.
I'm amazed you weren't fried like an ant under a magnifying glass.
I don't know that I did it in the summer, but yeah, I did it all the time. That's where I slept.
To be fair,
and an animal, and I slept.
Lee, did you not have a house?
And you wonder why she won't get the kid Lunchables.
She's bringing it down again. No. She's bringing it down again.
That was when we drove around, this is where I did.
So
remember growing up in the hatchback of an Oldsmobile.
We didn't have a house, so we just drove around so there would be a change of scenery. That's
Man,
so
that
sad, Lee. I'm so sorry.
That's amazing.
No, that.
That's amazing, Lee. I didn't know you lived in the Dust Bowl.
How were the Joes? Were they good people? I mean, they seem really good in the book.
Yeah, they always had great grapes. But...
Well played.
No, I think about it. We none of us wore seatbelts when we were little kids. Yeah, we used to jump. Yeah, we used to jump off monkey bars like crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all of these things, all of us should have died. We ate things that, oh, dear God, no, shouldn't have.
Well, I mean, first of all, anytime that we were traveling, like in a van or something, we were in the back, not strapped in, just like on the floor, playing with action figures or whatever. God only knows what I would have wound up with, like, you know, some G.I. Joe vehicle embedded in my skull if the brakes had been slammed on. And I, well, my favorite thing was playing with, I talked about the firing bottle rockets off of my bike, right? Have I told this?
No, I don't recall this story.
Yeah. We attached pipes to the front of our bikes and we'd put bottle rockets in them and light them while we were riding because, so we were basically trying to play Megaforce.
Which sure.
It's a terrible film, but when you're a kid, who doesn't want a motorcycle that can fly and fire rockets? I mean, come on.
Right. Yeah.
I remember the 4th of July bottle rocket fight where we just have the bottle rockets and start throwing them at people and lighting them.
Yeah, there is that.
Well, I have two. We used to have a neighbor across the street that we would shoot bottle rockets at each other's houses, you know, on a regular basis. Like generally on Friday nights, you know, not a school night, of course.
Yeah, their last name was Gaza.
No, their last name was Fletcher, and my playmate.
Too soon.
George Fletcher, who was an adult. So, you know, the one time that George lit the tree on fire because of an errant bottle rocket, he was able to get the hose and put it out. But then, you know, when that kind of stuff wore out and that wasn't as fun anymore. Then you take the bottle rocket and you break the stick off so that it has essentially no guidance. And you get your friends kind of circle around it and you get someone to light it. And then everybody runs in different directions because it's chasing somebody and you just hope it's not you.
These are the things that
we did in my neighborhood.
Nice.
Yeah, this is bad. Well, see, and think about it. You're talking about – think about firecrackers. We used to try to step on top of them. We were terrible peoples.
I can't tell you how many G.I. Joes suffered falling on a grenade that was, in fact, a cherry bomb.
There you go. Think about it. We were bad, bad children.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lovely recreation of the destruction of the Enterprise from 3.
Oh,
no helmets. We never wore a helmet or any kind of knee pads or anything like that, unless you're playing football.
And I recall this being done with the model from the motion picture.
Ooh.
Oh.
I know. That hurt. I know. Wow. That hurt.
How about that hurts now. Did anyone ever light those plastic army men on fire?
Yeah.
And
my cousin.
They drip. Yeah.
Not only that, but also
wax. You get things out of it.
Well, and also you do the flamethrower thing with like WD-40 or hairspray.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, and then we also would, because at my aunt's house, I don't know why, but she had one of those newfangled toilets, I guess. I don't know. But it made really good noises. I don't know. But it made great noises if you put rocks in it. The one at my house didn't make as great noises, but if you put rocks and flushed it at her house, yeah, my cousin and I got a lot of trouble for that.
R-O-C-K-S, not R-O-X, right?
No, R-O-C-K-S, rocks.
Okay.
As in granite. Yeah. Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
Well, so that would be a problem because top hats.
I bet the right plunger and you could get the top hat down, no problem.
Okay. Well, that's true.
My cousin also liked to flush frogs down the toilet, but I thought that was mean.
I can't wait to see the e-how article on flushing a top hat.
Well, when you see the video with rocks in it, are you going to be surprised?
Well, here's the instructables as well. That's great.
It's an issue that only affects rocks and Tom Petty, really.
Yeah, but see, the problem is this. After Tom Petty flushed the top hat, it completely stopped up the commode, and we had to tell him not to come around here no more.
Don't.
See, I thought you were going to go for quit jamming me, but, you know, whatever.
I guess I just got lucky.
Take back your Eddie Murphy.
Well, let's get to the point, and let's roll another
Oinch.
I forget. Whatever.
You forget the roll. What we're rolling, or you forget the point?
I'm sorry. What?
Exactly. I love how when that song was out, everybody was trying to take the word out, but now it's just like when you hear it on the radio, it's like, we don't care. Just go. You all knew what it was anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to jump, guys. I'm going to go have some West Coast dinner. So
enjoy your West Coast dinner.
Enjoy that.
Best to you all. Talk to you again soon.
Okay, man.
I don't have any reviews other than the Rocks tour was awesome. So great.
Okay, man.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye. I should have her do Ace of Spades when she comes.
What? Who?
Encore. Rocks. The tour.
Oh. Oh, God. No, I was thinking about that, about being dead, because just look at – I remember metal jungle gyms, and I remember getting smacked in the head with a seesaw. That was good. Leaping out of swings way too high.
I remember being right-handed until car doors happened.
What?
I was originally right-handed.
Okay, and what happened?
And there were incidents with car doors being slammed on my right hand.
Oh, shit!
So I had to learn how to write left-handed.
Holy God! Is your right hand, what is it? Are you a cyborg? What the fuck?
No, it's my hand. It's just it just broke my hand.
Oh.
I broke my right because the door closed on my hand. My right hand was broke. So when I was at the point when I was starting to learn how to write, my right hand was broke. So I started writing with my left hand.
So are you ambidextrous now?
No.
Oh, that sucks. You'd think out of all that, you'd at least get ambidextrous.
No, you would think, but no.
Oh, that's bizarre. Which is funny because, what was it? Didn't they used to, for people who were left-handed kids, they used to just teach them to be right-handed?
They tried to teach me to be right-handed, but I kept going back to the left hand.
Because you were like, listen, this hand is going to stay undamaged. I can't speak for that other one. I need to be able to write.
It was a psych out move.
I need to be able to write. I can't tolerate this whole,
Now, I kept looking at people going, do you think I really chose to have the left-handed scissors? Really?
That's true. Now, did they always have left-handed scissors? Because wasn't
no.
there – oh, see?
No, because the left-handed scissors were always bad. Because they'd only – because in elementary school, you only had that one pair. They would only have like one or two pairs.
Right.
And they'd never keep them sharp, so they were horrible.
So basically you're like out in the back trying to create a flint tool to cut paper.
Something like that, yeah.
And having to figure out how to work the flint tool with your left hand. God, that sucks. Well, I had never heard that story before. That's fucked up right there. So wait, see, there were multiple incidents involving car doors in your hand.
Well, there was one that involved a car door, and then there was another that just involved a regular door where my fingers, when I was little, my fingers went through the crease in the door.
Oh, God. Oh.
Ow. I had the gift of unfortunate timing.
Apparently.
It's carried through very well for me.
Well, I was just about to say, because if you had multiple incidents with a car door, I mean, eventually your ass would learn, or you would hope.
Yeah. No, there were, I think, at least two incidents that I know of. There was one involving a car door, and there was another involving just a regular door.
Oh, Ah.
I know this is great for the listeners. This is sorry for the imagery.
Because, I mean, you know, we've all gotten our hands caught, but
yeah,
that bad. Ah. That's not good. God, you know, what was it? The worst I had to contend with was when I got hit in the face with that seesaw. The top of my head. I mean, I don't want people thinking, oh, well, that's what happened to his face. No, it's always been like this. But no, I got playing on the playground, and my friend did the whole push their end of the seesaw down.
Yeah.
Set the other end up into, like, my temple.
Yeah.
And all I remember of that was they basically had to strap my ass down in order to put stitches in my head because I was not having it.
Yeah, one of my best friends, we had I don't know if you remember, but the layout in our gym, we had the stairs leading up to the stage. We had a gym with a stage in it.
Right.
And so you'd have the little lawn sides, the wings, with a little flight of stairs leading up to the stage. And there'd be like an open area on each side that, like, you know, they didn't put a door there, but clearly they should have.
Right.
Apparently a friend of mine was standing, in the hallway. There's like a bit of a, the bit between that staircase and the room across, kind of the little walkway from it. And it was just enough where someone had thrown a basketball, like hurled.
Right.
And it banked off the side enough that it banked off and then hit him in the head. And then his head bounced against the wall.
Oh.
And yes, that was bad.
It does sound bad. I mean, was he okay afterwards, or is he still...
I remember there being a lot of blood.
Oh, that's good.
I don't remember the rest of it, but I remember there being a lot of blood.
You don't remember what happened to him? I mean,
no, he's fine.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, they took him away and we never saw him again.
Yes, he was very seriously hurt, but he was fine.
Okay. Well, yeah, what was it?
He's probably going to send me a very bad email because I mentioned this in a podcast, but it's okay.
It's okay. We didn't mention him by name.
We go long enough, you're fair game.
No, nobody's going to know it's you, Roger. It's fine.
No, oh, you're fine.
Damn! But, no, I also got the other time that I got smacked in the head was in a rock fight in kindergarten, of all places.
See, that's what – you get into the things where
– But, see, I wasn't even into it. That was the thing is that I was
– You were an innocent bystander in a rock fight.
No, worse than that. I actually went over and tried to get them to stop. So,
the involvement.
I was idealistic in kindergarten.
Just let them blow each other up, Wedge.
I know that now, but you know, my dad never took me aside and gave me the talk about letting idiots blow themselves up.
Did you learn nothing from Spy versus Spy, Wee Wedge?
You know what? I don't think at that age I had started reading Spy versus Spy, and that's the problem.
See, there you go. That's the problem. You should have started Mad earlier.
I know. I know. I think we could all say that, really. But no, and as I was walking away, somebody threw a rock up in an arc, and it came down and smacked me in the top of the head. And the one thing I remember about that incident was
how big was the rock?
I honestly don't – but it wasn't, like, huge. It was just – it was sort of, like, fit in your hand.
Okay.
You know? And what I remember was I did not freak out until I put my hand up to my head and brought it back, and it was covered in blood. And that's when I started screaming. I was just
because you're fine until you see blood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're like, nothing's wrong. I'm fine. Top of the world.
Yeah, but then you go, oh, wait, no, I'm not. It's literally the medical equivalent of reminding a Looney Tunes character about the law of gravity.
Yeah, you know? you're fine until you check the back of your head and it's red and You see blood, and only then and only then do you start crying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I went apeshit. Because, you know, I just remember my entire hand was red. It was like, oh, this is bad. So, but yeah, I remember situations like that. I lost a lot of idealism when I was very small at the private school that I went to for all of kindergarten. You know, like the I can't remember what I've told where. Did I explain the lunchbox incident from kindergarten? Have I told the story?
I've heard this, I think, on another program, but I have not. It's been a while. So illuminate the listener.
Well, basically, I was kindergarten. I remember there was this green carpet that you sat on while you were eating lunch, and you brought your lunch box and you just ate sitting down on this carpet. And there was this kid who was stealing stuff out of my lunchbox. And again, idealistic me knew, well, that's wrong, and told him to stop, and he did not. So I went to the authority at hand, which was the teacher, and told her, and she basically did nothing. So I realized at the tender age of whatever the hell I was that I was simply going to have to take the law into my own hands. So I remember it was a metal Charlie Brown Snoopy Peanuts lunchbox. And so knowing that he was going to stick his hand back in and steal something else, I put my hand under the lid and just waited.
Ooh.
Yeah, and the next time
he stuck
his hand in, I slammed the lid down on him. I caught one of his fingers, and the reason I know that is because there was a finger-shaped dent in the lid. So, and I got in trouble, and I was like, listen, I was incensed. I was like, I tried to give you the opportunity to take care of this yourself, but you wouldn't, and look what you made me do. And as a result, I, you know, lost complete faith in the American justice system before I left kindergarten. Yeah, all my memories of kindergarten are just not pleasant. They're just not good.
See, here's the thing. I remember having two lunchboxes. One of them was a Walkabout Cotter lunchbox, and then the other one was the Dukes of Hazzard. And they were the metal ones.
Yeah.
And I knew they were hard for us to find.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm not injuring anyone with it. I'm not going to throw it at people. I'm going to take very good care of this. I lost the thermos, though. You always lose the thermos.
You always lose the thermos completely. The one time I did not lose the thermos was a lunchbox that I had simply because I wanted to own it, which was a Night of the Living Dead lunchbox.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, who wouldn't own that? And I just never used it. So, but, I mean, again, it's Night of the Living Dead. I don't think they had – I think it would be awesome if they had, like, lunchboxes for things back in the day, like, you know, George C. Scott in The Changeling, a lunchbox.
I remember they had a Nightmare on Elm Street lunchbox.
Oh, that would have been awesome. All right, Rosemary's Baby lunchbox. That would be good.
I think this might have been around 3, right, when they got really ridiculous, when they stopped being actual horror films and just being ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Right around 3, right around the Dawkins song. Yeah, I remember that.
God.
I did a reference too far there just then, didn't I?
No, I I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised.
They've always said that about me.
What, you weren't surprised?
No, reference too far.
I was looking up the lunch boxes that did exist.
Yeah.
And again, of course, the problem is
I remember having a Lost in Space one, and it was really, really old.
Yeah.
I don't know why I had it, but I had a Lost in Space one. And again, lose the thermos.
Yeah, the trouble is with looking this up is that it's so easy these days to make one up. Like, here's a great one for The Wire. I love it. And on the thermos, there's a drawing of what's supposed to be what's supposed to be Michael Kenneth Williams that says, all in the game, yo. So, I mean, you got to be careful because you could never, you never know. Like, okay, like, for example, truly, was there a flying nun lunchbox, really? Was there a flying nun lunchbox? And if so, why?
I know there was a Gidget one.
Well, that makes a hell of a lot more sense than a flying nun. But then again, the flying nun was a series, so what do I know? Yeah, so
they have lunchboxes for a lot of shows you wouldn't think they had lunchboxes for.
Yeah, well that's what I'm looking at.
I think there was an Ironside lunchbox at one point or another.
Oh, nice. But Laugh-In.
There was a Laugh-In lunchbox, yep. I remember I've seen that one.
That's a little strange.
It had like Sock It To Me. It was like the
Yes. Yes, Sock It To Me, Sock It To Me, yeah.
Yeah, the thermos had Sock It To Me on it, yeah.
Here's one, and again.
I know Star Trek, the original Trek had very odd-looking ones.
And again, to our listeners, if you know these are bullshit, then I'm doing an image search. Bear with me if some of this shit is wrong. But, like, here's a Gomer Pyle one. Here's an awesome-looking Kung Fu one. But, yeah, I don't – you know, that's what's funny is I don't remember –
I think the Happy Days cartoon had one. With, like, the dog, like, Mr. Cool.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And, like, animated Happy Days had one, and, like, animated Laverne and Shirley had one, and then real Laverne and Shirley had one.
Yeah, here's one for Hardy Boys Mysteries. Now, if it was truly true to form, then the thermos would have Nancy Drew on it. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, because the girl couldn't be on the front.
No, of course not. Yeah, well, here's another Laugh-In one. And Evel Knievel, yes. Grizzly Adams, yes, of course. What's funny is
I remember there being a Twilight Zone thermos, like a Twilight Zone lunchbox.
Oh, God, I fucking love that. Oh, I gotta find that. Yeah, no, there's, you know, you need some more horror movies from the set. You need a Demon Seed lunchbox. That's what you need. Why is that not existing? Let me see if I can find this. Because I love the Twilight.
I know there was like a bunch, and this may have been like late 70s, early 80s, but I know they did a line of like B movie lunchboxes.
Was there a Behind the Green Door lunchbox?
I don't know.
Now there is a Twilight Zone lunchbox now.
Yes, there is a Twilight. I've seen that there's one, but I remember there was like an old thermos.
Yeah, there's two.
Like metal one.
Wow. God, now I just want it. It's a shame I work from home because I don't have any place I can take my lunch. I had to take my lunch into the garage just so I could fucking have an actual place to take my lunchbox to. Now, I can't tell if these things
are real
or not.
These are fake. What is it?
Fuck, it's another Twilight Zone, but I think this may be another version of. No, I seem to remember
because I've seen one where it was just like the Starfield and like a door or something. I think the eye was on the thermos.
That would be awesome. But yeah, I can't find it. There's a Twilight Zone lighter though. But
no, there's a Twilight Zone Zippo lighter. When I used to collect Zippos, I really wanted that.
You collected Zippos?
Yeah, when I smoked.
Oh, that makes sense.
I collected Zippos because they had a series of them. For a while, there was a series of them that had – they were coming out with like the old James Bond movie posters.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So it had like the thing with Sean Connery against the Thunderball one, or like – it was Thunderball or Goldfinger where it was the movie poster with Sean Connery and the Aston Martin on it. The white one, he's got the gun pointed up and he's leaning against the car.
Right.
Yeah, it was one of those. It was like the one sheet from the Bond posters.
Right.
And they just etched them onto Zippos.
Huh. Now, did you actually use the Zippos or did you just use regular ones and save those for?
There was a couple that I did that on, and there was a couple I didn't do that on. It wasn't like random. It was kind of random. I just thought whichever one looked cool, I'd go ahead and use it.
I see. Well, today is like a Dick Tracy day.
I know there was like a – I think there were a couple of Beatles ones I used, which I'm kicking myself for, but
– You know, what happened –
I don't have any of them now. I just
– What happened to your collection?
I don't have any of them now, and I didn't have a whole lot of them. I think I may have gotten to like maybe 10 of them before I decided I wasn't going to do that anymore. I might have diverted money to comics, I think.
Oh, I see. Because, I mean, 10, that is truly an aborted collection.
Yeah, that's kind of a tipping point. That's kind of a tipping point thing right now.
There it is. That is the one I had. I had a Captain America, Spider-Man, and the Hulk. Because I was looking
was this when the cartoons were out? Was this from
I think so. 1980 is what I'm seeing on eBay.
Because there was like a Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends one that I remember too.
Yeah, that one I did not have. I think I may have also had the Superpowers one. Because I was big on DC originally.
And this was – the Superpowers thing was like where they were trying to get away from the whole – they were getting rid of, you know, the Super Friends thing.
Well –
When they tried to go more toward the comics and they, like, added Firestorm or something like that.
Well, the Superpowers, if I remember correctly, was the toy line. So I think the toy line came first.
Yeah.
And then they did the series, the animated series, and then they had a really horrible tie-in limited series.
Because it was like the one season they had where Darkseid was the baddie all the time.
Yes, because it was all the Kirby characters – were the villains.
Yeah, it was like that one season where they dropped like Zan and Jane and Gleek, where they got rid of all the teenage sidekicks and they brought in Firestorm.
Right.
And then Darkseid was the villain pretty much all the time.
Yeah, here it is.
That's like the last year of that, I think.
Right. They had a that was it. The limited series had covers by Jack Kirby.
Yeah,
and then Carmine Infantino did some of the penciling on the other series, but yeah, it was just that. Well, that was they had the Super Friends Legendary Superpowers show.
Yeah, then the
Superpowers Team Galactic Guardians. But yeah, they.
I remember this because of Bandstand. Really, that's why.
Well, I remember because I was again strictly DC at the time. Is that I was seeing these ads, and of course I had a lot of these figures. But I like this
the thing I remember about that thing that one season of like Superpowers.
Yeah,
was like they switched Batman. They switched the voice. It was Adam West for a while.
Really.
Because they had the guy that had been doing Batman forever, and I forget who the name of the voice actor. I'm sorry. But I forget the name of the voice actor that had been associated with doing Batman on Super Friends forever. And then when they switched it to Superpowers, they had Adam West for a while.
I see that.
For like half the series. And then they switched back because everyone hated it.
That's so weird. I don't – see – The problem is there's only about 15,000 different versions of Super Friends, and I can't remember which ones I watched because after a certain point.
But like that last year, the one where Darkseid was the villain all the time.
Yeah.
Adam West was the voice of Batman, and
yeah,
no one liked it.
That was the initial Superpowers rollout.
Yeah.
And what's interesting here is that apparently they did – What three series of series? And I'm getting this on Wikipedia, which is always right. And the unproduced figures from 4, 5, and 6 were going to be Man-Bat, El Dorado from Super Friends.
Yeah.
Let's see, Shockwave, some other people I don't know. Blue Devil, Bizarro, Creeper, Metallo. Supergirl, John Stewart, Kid Flesh, Manhunter, Vigilante, Mr. Mixoplick, Black Vulcan, Reverse Flash, Deathstroke, Obsidian, Black Racer. Now that would have been awesome.
Yeah, what they were trying to do is they were going to introduce more actual DC Comics characters into the show. Because I guess Hanna-Barbera was going to get a better license, I guess.
But an Atomic Knight action figure, that would have been awesome.
Because if I understand it correctly, Hanna-Barbera always had a very limited license on which characters they could use. Like, extremely limited on which characters they could use.
So this was now I wonder why that is, because they have they started expanding, and like they added like Cyborg and Firestorm at one point.
Yeah, they started adding characters like right when they went to superpowers, because it had always been Superman, Batman and Robin, Aquaman and Wonder Woman, and then like the little teenage kid sidekick characters. And every once in a while, you'd get, like, you know, El Dorado, or they'd create the guys for the show. But you'd hardly ever see until they got to, like, the villains, until, like, that Legion of Doom thing where they got all the actual villains.
Right.
Because then, before that, it was, like, all goofy sort of Scooby-Doo-type villains, and they weren't really that powerful, and it was stupid. But... then they had the thing with the actual villains, which was kind of cool. And I know that, so it seems like their license for Hanna-Barbera's licensing for the characters, what they could actually put on the show, is very limited. And I think because the action figure line was going to open that up, but they never really got there.
Apparently, Super Friends, the sort of franchise, ended in 1986.
Yep.
Bizarre.
Which is weird, because Bandstand left ABC like a year or so later.
Well, you know, that's all that was keeping them there.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, toys. Toys and animation. They used to go together like hand in Metal Gauntlet.
Well, it didn't – you know, here's the weird thing, because I didn't realize this until I actually bought the DVD set.
Yeah.
You know how you always talk about Fawlty Towers, where you thought it just went on for 4 or 5 years and it's only 12 episodes?
Right.
I seem to recall that Dungeons & Dragons ran forever.
It only ran like one season, didn't it?
It only went really 2 years. It was just on – CBS reran the shit out of that show, and then NBC got reruns for like another 2 years.
Yeah, so that's –
it ran for a really long time on Saturday mornings.
27 episodes plus one unproduced, which if you have the box set that I'm thinking of
– if you have the first version of the box set, it's actually like a series finale.
Yeah, they pieced together as much as they could – to present it, right?
Well, they got certain members of the voice cast and some other people together to record it.
Right.
So there's like an audio play of it. But it's only on the first version of the box set. There are some versions of it now that just have no extras on them.
Right. Yeah.
That doesn't have that on it. But it's the one that actually looks like the Dungeons and Dragons box that I have.
Yes, yeah, I had that as well.
Yeah. Which is weird, because now Disney actually owns all the Marvel animated stuff again, since it's all under one roof, since they bought all the Saban stuff back.
Really?
Yeah, so all the Marvel animation stuff, yeah, Disney had the Marvel animation stuff before they had Disney.
Wow. So
they had like the old Marvel Studios stuff before they actually bought Marvel.
So yeah, I'm just looking at this. Apart from the Marvel Productions, right?
Yeah.
Apart from the stuff that's truly Marvel, like Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Yep.
And Incredible Hulk.
And they the Hasbro stuff.
The Hasbro Transformers the movie, G.I. Joe the movie. Well, Muppet Babies, which is co-production. Along with Fraggle Rock, and then Jim, and let's see, My Little Pony stuff. You can tell John's asleep. Oh wow! So yeah, the other properties. This gets interesting. Pandemonium. Who remembers that? the RoboCop animated series, the Attack of the Attack of the Killer Tomatoes animated series.
Yeah, and that one episode of the X-Men that they kept running over and over and over again.
And Kid and Play.
Yep, Kid and Play.
And, well, and also, before we had League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, we had Defenders of the Earth.
Yep. What was that? Flash Gordon, the man. Flash Gordon, the Mandarin.
You're thinking of Mandarin.
Mandarin. Yeah.
And Mandarin, the Phantom. Yeah. And then basically Lothar, who is the adult sidekick, basically.
Yeah.
So,
wasn't that supposed to be Tarzan, though?
Was it?
I seem to recall that that should have been Tarzan. I remember seeing like an interview with one of the guys who was developing that show and said that Lothar was supposed to be Tarzan at one point, but they couldn't get the rights.
I could see that.
Because it was all – because that show was supposed to be like the King features.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it was either supposed to be – they were trying to get either Tarzan or try to find a way to make Prince Valiant work in like some sort of weird time travel thing.
Oh, dear God.
But
well,
that Tarzan would work better.
That's the thing is those comic strips. I always hated those comic strips because like Prince Valiant, you'd get maybe 3 seconds of action and then you had to wait a week. And I couldn't fucking remember what had happened from week to week.
Well, no, because the thing was only 4 panels.
Yeah. Now it looked
great. If you were really lucky, if Family Circus was incredibly large, those bastard children, it'd only be 1 panel.
But it looked great. I mean, the art was awesome. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying. Now, what I love this. Stan Lee apparently did the lyrics to the closing credit song for Defenders of the Earth.
I believe that.
I believe it too, because I mean, you got Jerry Conway and John Romita Sr. co-created this, along with Ross Andrew. Very nice.
I remember that show, and it was supposed to be like the characters that had King features strips at the time.
Yeah.
That's why I was thinking Lothar should have been Tarzan, because he had a strip at the time.
That makes total sense. Wow, they went 65 episodes.
Yeah.
Damn. That's impressive.
I remember Marvel had like a syndicated thing. Where it was that and a couple of other shows that they ran on the weekends. Because the Gem was in that mix at one point or another.
Yeah, he's totally asleep.
I know. That's why I have the bravery to say it now.
Bizarre. So, well, there you go.
Cliffhangers and all of that. It's weird.
So there you go. Disney can...
That's but it's weird. Disney has the rights to all of the Marvel Productions stuff now, and they had it before because they Saban had it for a while.
Right.
They bought it, and they had it for a while. And then Fox had it for a while because they had it for their cable channels. And then when I think Disney bought it when they bought Fox Family.
So could they, like, for example, re-release the Dungeons & Dragons box set? Or do they need
Wizards of the Coast to sign off on it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I know that the Transformers and G.I. Joe stuff has been released, but I don't know who's released it. And I don't think it's been – any of the older shows have been released since Disney had the rights.
Yeah.
Because I know all of the old Transformers stuff is – I don't know. Is it still – I think it's out of print now.
What, the Marvel Transformers?
Yeah.
I don't know. Because they
released all of that on DVD.
Well, they released the...
And they released the movie. Now, the movie you can still find, because that's still in print.
Right. Frighteningly enough.
But the actual series is, I don't believe, is.
I'm looking. No!
They released it in like volume 1 and volume 2, so it's not really a season. It's like a half season or something like that.
Well, according to this, and you have to be careful because there's been a ton of different Transformers series.
Yeah.
But Transformers the Complete Series is out from Shout Factory.
Okay.
Well, and you know, it could be
that Disney's licensing it. Well, Disney and Hasbro.
Well, now, but see, part of the deal would be if Shout Factory got, like, let's say, because this is 2011, let's say for the sake of argument, like a 5-year deal.
Yeah.
Then that would still hold, right?
Probably, yeah.
I would think so.
Well, it's the same way that because Shout Factory and Rhino are technically the same company.
I think so.
Because I know at one point all the MST stuff used to come out on Rhino, and now it comes out on Shout Factory.
Right. But
so.
But I think yeah,
technically Disney could re-release the Dungeons and Dragons stuff, and I don't know who the last people who released it was, because the bare bones stuff.
That may have been Shout Factory as well.
It could have been Shout Factory too.
Oh, yeah. No. Sorry. There is the bare bones one was put out by Mill Creek, all people. Which is, you know, if you just want it with no frills, it's like $9. So, I mean, you can't beat that.
Well, yeah. And no, but the ones with there was like two commentaries and like.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that version, that's been way out of print, because I had to really look to find that.
Well, if it's new, it's going, according to Amazon, for like $275.
I think when the one I got was used, and I got that at a movie stop, and disc one didn't work. But this was thank you Netflix, when you used to send DVDs out. So we fixed that.
Oh damn.
Well no, I just copied it.
Oh, I see.
I copied disc one.
And you had a legitimate copy of it, so
I had a legitimate copy of it, so therefore legally I could do that.
Yes. No, it was BCI. BCI put it out in 2006.
Yeah, that would have been right before Disney bought the rights.
Yeah, interesting. That's interesting, because I'm just curious, because normally the way contracts work is that you do have something in there that says, you know, specifically this deal will survive if you get bought.
Yeah.
You know? Now, they might not renew it, but they would certainly, I think, honor it for right now.
Yeah, somehow I don't see Disney releasing a Dungeons and Dragons set. I believe they will push that off on somebody else if it does get released again.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because I don't see Disney. I would love it if they did, but I can't see Disney doing like the Pixar Vault treatment to it.
God, that would be great. Walt Disney Treasures presents Dungeons and Dragons. I loved that damn – you know, and part of the reason why I loved that series is because I lived in the middle of fucking nowhere and as a result could not play role-playing games because there was no internet, kids, ask your parents, whereupon you could like, you know, play long distance with other people.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm.
We both lived in the same CBS coverage area. We had the same affiliate.
Probably.
I seem to recall that the CBS affiliate, when that show first started airing, went out of their way to preempt that thing.
You know, I don't remember that. I mean, it might be true, but I don't remember it.
Because I know it used to – when it did – when I remember it airing, it was on – in the network lineup, it was after Muppet Babies.
Okay.
Kids, ask your parents. I remember it being on after Muppet Babies, but for some reason, I seem to recall that the CBS affiliate would at least when it started,
yeah,
they would like preempt it for like a college football thing, like hours before actual college football thing started. They'd like preempt it with like a local show or something, and then they'd go back to the cartoons, and then they'd air like Dungeons and Dragons like later in the afternoon or something.
Weird.
I seem to recall that. Because of – I don't know why, but I seem to recall that Channel 19 used to preempt Dungeons and Dragons a
lot. I wouldn't be surprised.
And then eventually they just caved and aired it. So
– Well, probably because they watched it and went, what are we doing?
Yeah. Well, no, because – and there was – I seem to recall that there was a big uproar about that at the time.
What, about them doing it?
About the no, not about them doing it, but about there being a show called Dungeons and Dragons based on the game.
Well, because thanks to Tom Hanks and Mazes and Monsters, everyone knew that it would make you crazy.
Yes, same thing as cross-dressing.
Which, you know, no, I'm just looking because if I remember correctly, yes, the
yeah, magician... that movie came out.
What's that?
Yeah, that movie came out.
Which movie? Oh,
Monsters and Mazes.
Oh, I thought you were linking it to Bosom Buddies somehow. I was like, wait a minute.
I said, you know, you're going out of your mind, and yeah, so just based on his previous television experience, also cross-dressing.
Oh, I see.
Kids, you should always, it's a very important lesson if you're trying to find an apartment in New York and you can't. You and your roommate can dress like women to get affordable housing. That's how it works in the real world.
Well, that was a documentary. Bosom Buddies was a documentary.
That's how you make it in advertising.
No, according to Wikipedia, which is always right, level of violence was controversial for American children's television at the time. And the script of one episode, The Dragon's Graveyard, was almost shelved because the characters contemplated killing Venger. So wait a minute. So in 1985, the National Coalition on Television Violence demanded that the FTC run a warning during each broadcast stating that Dungeons and Dragons, the series – now, is that – do they mean Dungeons and Dragons, the animated series, or just Dungeons – probably Dungeons and Dragons in general – had been linked to real-life violent deaths. And it led its time slot for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous.
Although, to be fair, I thought the show was pretty good. But although, here's the thing. When you're a kid and you see a warning,
yeah,
you're watching it.
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah, hell even if it's bad. Even if it's bad. And you know, that sort of leads to you get old enough, you know, you go to a friend's house and watch Faces of Death. Just the first one, just to see what it's like. You know?
Yeah, that's what happens. I mean, you know, listen.
You don't want to watch two or three. You just want to watch one. And you don't really want to.
Censoring children is a gateway drug to Faces of Death. We all know it's true. This is the one podcast that has the balls to say it, you know? I really would love to go back and look at – because I wasn't aware, maybe you were, but I was not aware of controversies like that at the time, completely oblivious. I would love to see how children's television.
I knew about the Dungeons and Dragons thing because they, at school, well, not at school, but at church, when I used to go, they showed us those videos, like the ones with the back masking and.
Right.
Yeah. So they had one for like role playing games, and they talked about the cartoon a lot.
Yeah, see, I at least knew because of Mazes and Monsters, I knew that it was supposed to be evil and of Satan and whatnot.
And the funny thing is, when I stopped going to church, we'd still get those tapes to see which what they said about what was on what album.
So you could go buy the album?
Not so you could buy the album. Just what they said was on when you played it backwards, what they said it was. Because then we'd go get the record and try it.
Because then if you didn't know, you would never be able to hear it.
Yeah. Okay. And then we'd get the record and, like, try it, right? Because they're like, because part of that is based on the fact that, you know, nobody's really going to play the record backwards. Kids don't play the records backwards until you mention, hey, if you play the records backwards.
I'm wondering who started that bullshit anyway. I mean, honestly.
Although, true story, the funny thing is I know ELO in particular. Jeff Lynn would actually record stuff backwards because they had said that there was stuff backwards on the album.
No, that's true because the Beatles did it as well.
Because the Beatles did it and Queen did it and ELO did it just because people had said, well, there's stuff on the there's satanic messages on the record. So like Jeff Lynn would stick stuff on the record.
Oh yeah, like what was it? The Beatles just put the like on Rain, it's just the chorus backwards.
Yeah.
So, speaking of chairs, complete non sequitur here, because I've been meaning to ask you.
Yeah.
What is your take on the fact that now Amazon has a phone?
Yeah.
The Fire Phone?
You know, it seemed to be a matter of time. I mean, they already had a TV box, and they already had, like, a Kindle.
Right. A Kindle that increasingly became a tablet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and to be fair, the Fire wasn't that bad of a tablet. It was just closed source, and, you know, they didn't update the first one. I was just kind of a little pissed at them for that. Yeah. But apparently they did that on the next models. They upgraded the operating systems. They learn. No, it seems to be where they're going. Because honestly, they want to control. They know how – if everything's going digital – they need to keep you buying from Amazon because your only other choice digital really is going to Apple.
Right.
And the suspicion is if you get inside the Apple ecosystem, you do not come out.
Huh.
Although if that is not – I don't find that terribly true. Maybe I'm a mutant. I don't know. I buy stuff from iTunes and Amazon. So
– Right.
I don't know if that's necessarily true, but – I guess the idea is, you know, the threat of if you sneak over across the lines to iTunes once, you'll just stay there. Or they just want all your monies.
Well, they want all your money. I mean, yeah. That's what I love. My favorite, even better than the whole, here's an app that you can go into stores and price check with Amazon and we'll give you a discount. Even better than that is the fact that anytime the Criterion Collection website has a sale, within a few hours, Amazon will have all their Criterion Collection on sale for 1% less. Literally, now, 1% less.
Now, Barnes & Noble did the Criterions, I believe. They're still doing it through this weekend, folks. They're doing Barnes & Noble was doing a Criterion sale, and I think Amazon didn't play that game this time.
Really?
Yeah, Barnes & Noble was doing an in-store and online sale on their Criterion Collection stuff, like all of it half off.
Really?
Yes, and Amazon did not go there. At least as far as I could tell, because I was going to get Hard Day's Night from Amazon, but then I found out, oh yeah, Barnes & Noble is doing a half off sale, and I checked, and it included a Hard Day's Night.
Now through July 28th, I'm looking at it right now.
Yep.
That's
how I was talking about. That's how I got Hard Day's Night. I got it for like I got the Blu-ray for like $20.
Oh dude. Oh, I'm doomed now. I'm doomed. But that is the ultimate diss. Is like, yeah, have fun with your sale. We don't need to chase your ass. You're good. Enjoy that. It's like, wow. But no, I absolutely love that because you could tell if it was a 20% sale, Amazon would have it for 21.
Oh yeah, but no, this is 50. The Amazon's not playing that. No, that's too rich for us. See ya.
Yeah, and you know what?
A phone? They're literally giving away that damn phone.
Oh yeah. Well, they get you hooked on Prime because they've got Prime for the first year free with that.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, again, I've mentioned it before. That's actually a great deal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, who did we lose?
I think John popped up twice.
Oh, okay.
Hi, John.
Hi, John. Something.
Anyway.
You know, we did Prime 1 year. We did the free trial.
Yeah.
We did the whole, we're going to do the free trial so we can do all of our shipping for Christmas.
Yeah.
And save money. And we neglected to cancel. But then we came around the next time, and this is before even Amazon Instant Video showed up.
Yeah.
Which again got me pissed off because my Samsung Blu-ray player didn't support it, hence the Roku.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I hardly touch my Samsung Blu-ray player at this point.
Yeah.
Which is weird. But I did. I went back. This is how anal I am. Thank God Scott's not on the call. I went back and actually totaled up how much we would have spent in shipping versus Prime.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, this is actually a really good deal.
Yeah. Well, you know, Kim's got Prime. Actually, we both have Prime on separate accounts. And I know that's going to sound weird, but the reason is I don't want her to know what I'm getting her.
Now, you know.
Because if I did it on the Prime, on the same Prime account, she'd be able to see it.
No, no, no. Are you doing the whole family sharing thing?
We're not doing family sharing because we had figured that out after I got the Prime account.
Oh, I see. Yeah, we set up family sharing for that, but it basically turned into a, if you do need to go check the account, certain things just don't look at it.
Yeah, I know. That's why even after we found out family sharing existed, we just kept it separate, just because I don't want you to see what I'm getting you for Christmas. So there.
Yeah. that's important.
But no, they've added besides video now, they've got music. The music service that they started. No.
I have not played around with that yet. Have you?
I haven't really. I'll take that back. I did a little bit. The controls are a little confusing. Because Amazon is great for putting stuff in a cart and buying it.
Right.
Not so great if you're disseminating from what is in the cart that you've bought and what is in the cart that you're saving to the cloud to stream. Because you have to go in and save stuff to stream it in order to stream it. It's weird. You can't just search it and play it. You have to put it in your cart. You have to put it in your cart to do it. It's weird.
That is weird.
Or at least I couldn't. I couldn't tell the difference from stuff I was intending to buy and stuff I was intending to stream, if that makes sense.
Right.
It works a little bit better on the mobile app because you can tell. But from the website, you can't tell.
Now, here's a question. So if you're a because, like, you have to have Spotify, like, Uber Premium in order to get mobile, right?
Yeah, I have that.
Which I don't, because I'm generally, like, rooted to my desk. But and if I'm listening to music, I've got, you know, like I said, no radio station can beat my iPod.
Yeah.
But so the Amazon Prime Music Mobile, though.
Yeah.
Is that all included?
Yes. Mobile's included.
Oh, interesting.
And like I said, the mobile works well for now, it is, until they wise up and figure out that's a lot of bandwidth, but I don't think they figured that part out yet.
Well,
sometimes as we've learned, Amazon launches things before they're fully baked.
Well, remember, this is the company that, when they put together their infrastructure to serve up stuff, realized that they had so much stuff they could serve, they created a CDN.
Well, yes. And I'm not saying they're not forward thinkers. I'm just saying sometimes they release something that isn't completely ready.
Well, I'm sure. Like, I mean, just like you said, the fact that you have to put it in your cart before you can listen to it, that makes no sense to me. At all.
I think the music thing seems to be, and even they mention it on the website, seems to be a little more geared toward mobile than it is on the website, which is probably because they did re-release the app. They did a refresh of the app. The app looks a lot better. But
now, see, my concern would be not their bandwidth, but my bandwidth, you know?
Yeah, that is still a thing you have to deal with. It's going to be a thing you've got to deal with like Pandora and everybody else. It's still coming off your phone data unless you're on Wi-Fi.
Unless you're on Wi-Fi, yeah. Now, but I mean, I wasn't saying that the music wasn't half baked because it sounds like it is. I'm just saying that I would be amazed if they were unable to absorb whatever bandwidth they were taking up through the music streaming with their current network, you know what I mean? Because their network is fucking vast. So, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure they have workarounds about that.
Because
it's the same pipeline they have with video, and their video is amazingly good.
Yeah, it is quite good. Yeah.
There are questions about, you know, what, because the entire catalog is not there. And they're time releasing things. So it's kind of like Netflix, where you don't get new albums like immediately. Like, you don't get – you get things that are, you know, maybe in the cycle, and you get things that are maybe in top 40 hits.
Right.
But you don't get, like, new releases don't add – get added to the service immediately, and there's some licensing, so they don't have all the labels yet online with this.
Right.
So – Now, here's the thing, and I don't know this for sure because I haven't tried it. Unlimited is a separate service from Prime. They've actually uncoupled that from Prime, if I understand that correctly.
Really?
I think. I don't think Unlimited's included in Prime. I think Unlimited is separate.
Now, I know that, like, for example, because I posted about how they have the new Kindle Unlimited.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about the music still.
No. Yeah. No, because the music – you have to get Prime for the music service, and you have to get Prime for the video service. But they have the Kindle Unlimited
– It's separate. It's $9.99. It's separate
from Prime. Yes.
Yeah.
You cannot get that. I haven't tried it, but I don't think that's included with Prime. That's
separate. No, it's not. It's separate. Yeah, I checked that. So, but, I mean, if you're – again, a Kindle junkie.
Yeah.
$10 a month to basically do a ton of books for free. That's kind of crazy.
And that's not bad. And you know, they kind of have cornered the subscribable all you can eat market there. Because they've got Kindle Unlimited now. They had the magazine thing. I think Condé Nast has a magazine thing too, but Amazon had the – I think Amazon still has the magazine thing, and I think – don't they own Audible now?
Oh, yeah. They've owned Audible for a while.
They've owned Audible now for a while, so yeah, they've got that market cornered.
So, yes.
It's kind of an interesting thing to watch because Amazon's trying to build their own kind of ecosystem kind of slowly. And I think probably the phone's the next step in that.
Right.
Because that's the only device they don't have. And people have been suspecting they were going to come out with a phone for a long time. And they kept saying, oh, no, we're just going to do Kindles. We're not coming out with phones. But, you know, they've – obviously everybody suspects that Apple has some sort of hole that they think they can fill that Apple hasn't covered yet or Google or whoever, and they're going to throw a phone out. And also because the technology now is cheaper, you can make a really good phone. Because it used to be you could make a feature phone, you couldn't really make the phone and bring the cost down enough for it to work and to compete. And I think Amazon at least has the scale enough to be able to do it. We'll see how much – because we don't know how much money they lose off these things.
Well, that was going to be my next question is that if you've got unlimited books for $10 a month and then you buy Prime, which is now what? Because it was like – I forget what it is.
It was like $79 a year, and now it's like $99. So it's gone up like $20. My Prime account when I joined, and I still have this because I joined during a test program.
Right.
I did it in monthly installments. So I think mine bumped up to $9.99.
Really?
Yeah. They did a beta test of the monthly. Of monthly installments, like, you know, they were trying to do like an alternative to Netflix.
Right.
With the video. And they did a test pilot of offering Prime on monthly installments, and I did that. And I'm still being charged monthly for it. So
yeah, let's just say you've got like $100 for, well, not unlimited video, but a shit ton of video, right? Yeah. And then a shit ton of music, because it's not all free.
No.
But there's enough, right?
Yeah.
So do they make money off the fact that you're already buying all this other shit from Amazon, so I should buy my toilet paper and, you know, cookies there as well?
I believe that would be the thought. I would believe that some of that is a loss leader for them, kind of like – dangling new CDs for like $7 you used to when you went to the physical store.
Right.
That kind of sounds kind of about right. Now, because here's the thing with Apple, once you get into their ecosystem, Apple gets 30% of everything you buy off the top.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something I was watching, and I find it interesting that the flat second that Amazon took control of Comixology, they removed Comixology purchases. They removed the store from the app.
Really?
Amazon took out the ability to buy the comics by issues from the iOS app. Only the iOS app.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yes, to save the 30%.
To save the 30%. And up until that point, I believe Comixology was the highest iOS app for in-app purchases.
Wow.
So Apple lost a lot of money when they pulled that.
So basically, you have to go on the website and purchase your stuff.
You have to go to the Comixology website to purchase your stuff, but then you can download it using the app because the app is now the reader.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
But – and there's the but is that's only for the iOS app. The Android app still has the store in it.
Well, of course. Makes sense. That makes a ton of sense.
And then the same thing in the music app. You can't buy MP3s. You can't buy music from within the Amazon Music app. You can manage the stuff that you have, and you can download stuff you have in the cloud, but you have to buy stuff off the website, and then it gets added to the cloud in the app. Because they do not want to pay Apple.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Now, the other way they probably – I would assume they make money off this is because they also sell cloud storage.
What, Amazon?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
They sell cloud storage. And the interesting thing about the cloud storage that they sell, because I have the music thing, where basically they cap your limit of songs you can upload as a user.
Yeah.
Because all your Amazon purchases are free and they don't count against any limits.
Right.
But if you – let's say you want to upload like everything that you have.
Right.
They have a I believe it's like a 5,000 song limit on just the freebie accounts. And then it's like $20 a year and you can upload like up to 300,000 songs a year or something like that if you want.
A year.
A year.
So this is the Robin Tuffley plan.
Well, there's a bigger plan than that, actually. I just paid the $20 one. But there you can go higher up and up the song limit you can upload per year.
Jesus Christ.
Because iTunes Match has the same thing. I believe its song limit is like 20,000. I think you can upload 20,000 tracks that you didn't buy from iTunes.
And so the deal is that only you are accessing this, so yes. hence it's legal for you to upload it.
Yes. And also the deal with Amazon is the same deal with iTunes Match. So it's the same thing. If they have it in their library and you can match it, you can upgrade for the higher quality, you get their version.
Nice. And so they don't have to upload and keep a separate copy.
Yeah. Because they, instead of uploading your version, they will stick their version, just throw it in their library. Throw it in your library.
Nice.
When you do your import thing, they will check your library. They'll scan your library, and if they already have something you have, they'll just add it automatically and you don't upload
it. Right.
Which is nice.
Which is nice.
You just have to be careful though. Once you've done it, you have to check the tags to make sure that you've got the right thing. Because sometimes they'll do something weird with the album covers and things like that. Same thing iTunes does.
Yeah, I would truly love. I was trying to find a podcast catcher.
Yeah.
That's not iTunes, because iTunes, what I do is I transfer my stuff over into the music library.
Uh-huh.
Because if it sits in the podcast, I'll never listen to them.
Well, because on the newer iPhones, it's the separate app.
Right. But I would never do it. So I like them as MP3s. So yeah. So what I do, but the problem, that's not the problem. That's easy enough to do. The problem is two things. Number one, it will then re-download it one or two days later because it's not smart enough to know that it's already downloaded it. Number two, it will count that not as having played it, and it will very helpfully stop downloading that podcast because it thinks I'm not listening to any of the episodes. Unbelievably annoying. So, but I tried probably five or six other podcast download, as in put the XML or the feed link or whatever into it.
Yeah.
And just download it. And of the ones that I found, two would not accept OPML, which is the list of feeds that you can export and import. Mm-hmm. Two crashed when trying to do that.
Yeah. And
some of the others just, they wouldn't run. It was just awful. So
I had Double Twist doing that for a long time, even after I didn't need it for Android stuff anymore.
Yeah.
I had Double Twist doing that for a while, but Double Twist is just a resource hog.
Yeah. What I've done is I'm like, well, I was having to take a step and convert them anyway. So now I just have a Feedly group with all my podcasts in it, and I just download them to a folder and then throw them in the iTunes. But, you know, I would love to replace iTunes with something else that would, you know, because there are ones that will take the place of iTunes and sync with your iPod, iPhone. But the number one instance of it that I found, Media Monkey, it couldn't even handle pulling down podcasts. So I'm like,
well, Spotify will do it, but Spotify will only add it to the app and not your music app.
Right.
Because you can do it inside Spotify, but Spotify will only – you have to access it through the Spotify app, not the regular music app. It's weird because I've tried that.
Well, and to be honest, I would love another music app. The only problem I've been able to find is because I use the rating system to track my songs.
Yeah.
The one I found that was basically an overlay on top of the iTunes app – would not allow you to change ratings. It would do everything else, though. So
I am kind of curious to see how they're going to integrate the stuff from Beats Music into iTunes, because they're going to.
What's up for speculation?
Well, they bought Beats. You know, they bought Beats, which makes Dr. Dre a very wealthy man, and he never has to come out with Detox ever. It's not like an Axl Rose thing, but where, you know, he just didn't come out with the album. It's, no, I have $3 billion. I really don't have to. But, they bought Beats, and so that includes the Beats Music service, which my speculation is that's why Apple bought Beats Music, because iTunes Radio is crap, and it plays the same three songs when you try to use it. But Beats's recommendations algorithm is supposed to be like badass, which is probably why they bought it. So I'm guessing it's going to be used at some point or integrated into iTunes Radio or and Genius, which could only help.
Right.
But I know some features from Beats Music will eventually be integrated into iTunes. And also probably an iTunes streaming service, which we all thought iTunes Radio would be anyway. So I imagine that's eventually what will happen to that.
Well, it would be nice if there was an alternative, because it's awful. And the thing is, I don't think it's my library or – I mean, I'm not doing anything that outlandish. And I have like a quad-core PC. Yeah. It's just slow.
Well, to be fair, though, any piece of Apple software on a Windows system kind of works.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've heard.
And it's not even an iTunes bias. I mean, come on. QuickTime never worked on Windows. Ever. Those of you listening now, if you're at home with a desktop, try to pull up QuickTime.
But don't worry, there'll be an update.
It won't happen. You can't, because
there'll be an update, though.
There'll be an update to QuickTime. There's always an update to QuickTime. But yeah, QuickTime for Windows is a joke. But yeah, and but it works. It works fantastic on a Mac. But yeah, that's.
Well, I will eventually take the plunge and get a Mac simply because I am doing so much audio and video work.
Yeah.
I don't think I have a choice. And then perhaps I shall know bliss. But maybe not. I don't.
Probably not.
Probably not.
You.
I know it is me.
It is you we're talking about.
I am just a complaining asshole. So.
Well, no, you're generally there's two schools of thought on this. You are either you are a completely complaining asshole, or you just have the bad experiences for everyone else.
That's true. I have the bad experiences so other people don't have to.
Because I swear to God, and I've heard this from other people, but I swear to God, your Samsungs were cursed. Seriously, like, I don't know what the hell happened with all your Samsung stuff.
Well, you know, we recently replaced our washer dryer.
Okay, so.
And I saw there was a lot of people liking the Samsungs, and I said, fuck no, that's not
going to happen. No. It's like Amityville. You've moved into the house enough, you should know there's ghosts there. You know, I don't know if the story gets around, but there was a lot of Amityville flicks and
and a remake.
And a remake. You know, I'm thinking that story should have gotten around at least once.
Yeah, there you go, an Amityville horror lunchbox. with get this, when you take the top off the thermos.
It has bees in it?
Yes, inside the thermos. Inside the cup of the thermos.
Bees?
That'd be perfect. Oh, and remember, I think I said, what, the changeling? George C. Scott and the changeling?
Yeah.
Every time you open the lunchbox, that rubber ball pops out of it and bounces across the room, scaring the shit out of you.
Oh, you know what would be better? The Harvey lunchbox where the rabbit disappears.
With the thermos. That's where the thermos goes. Fucking rabbit stealing the thermos. That explains everything. And I mean, even beyond horror, there's other, like, you know, there was no, to my knowledge, was there a Krull lunchbox? Why not? I mean, come on.
There might have been because there was a comic.
Battle Beyond the Stars? Hang on. Krull lunchbox.
I know there was a Battle of the Planets one.
Yeah, but that's a little different. That was. Yeah, I see Black Hole. I see a couple different Black
Hole. Oh, I had the Black Hole one.
Nice.
I had the Black Hole one.
Nope. No Krull lunchbox.
Wow.
Well, it's sort of a.
Well, I don't know. I guess you have to be a major. I guess you have to be. The movies kind of have to hit, don't they, for that to work?
Yeah, kind of. And it's only a hit later. I mean, how are we supposed to know that Liam Neeson would be a star? Yeah, and no Megaforce lunchbox either.
I'm sure there's one now.
Although I'd buy one. I'd fucking buy one. not Power Rangers Megaforce, actual Megaforce. Fucking Power Force. Power Rangers Megaforce nonsense. It's just not right. But anyway.
So, I don't know. Do the two of us want to do recommendations?
Oh, yeah. I think we should. I think we should do recommendations.
Let me save you some troubles here. So, the introductions. That's Widge. I'm Mike. Hi.
Hi. All right. Tough. Who wants to go first?
I don't know. I'll go.
Oh, go Toughly.
So, Bob Mould has a record out, and it's – let me look it up here real quick. He has a new record out. It's if I can close this. I have too many menus up. It's called Beauty and Ruin, and it's very nice, very enjoyable. If you like the last album, the Silver Age album, this is really good as well. I will also recommend Slow Club's Complete Surrender. Very nice.
I haven't heard that yet. It's good.
Slow Club? Yes. It's kind of a mix between. Kind of like If you, I like the Noisettes style. It's sort of kind of a cross between. Every once in a while it's punky. Every once in a while it's kind of dance based, and every once in a while it's just, you know, old 60s soul type stuff. Right. And it kind of crosses back and forth between. Slow Club kind of likes to stay in the 60s kind of soul area. Right. But they do play around a little bit, and there's a little bit of variety there. So I will recommend that. Snowpiercer is available on like digital services. So if you can't find a damn movie theater that it's playing at, you can just buy it and like download it and watch it and enjoy it and take it into your own.
Welcome to the future.
Welcome to the future, folks. I have no idea when it's actually coming out on like physical media, but it, like I said, if you can't find a theater it's playing in, and it apparently isn't playing in a whole lot of theaters, you can just go buy it now. So go do that. And The Wicked and Divine number 2 is out, and it's still very kick-ass. Go get that. And that's gonna fix me for now.
Okay. Okay. So for my stuff, I admit I have not seen this, but I do not know how it cannot be awesome, and that would be Cuban Fury with a dance movie starring Nick Frost and Chris O'Dowd. I don't know how that can go wrong. I do not know how that can possibly lose, because it sounds amazing. I also want to mention a couple of albums. Eels, the new Eels, Cautionary Tales of Mark Oliver Everett.
Oh, yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, it's good. And I was trying to see. I'm assuming this is recent. The Death Cab for Cutie live album, was that this year?
Might have been. I don't really keep up with them that much these days, but.
Well, the reason I say that is it's. Oh, I see. It was a Record Store Day release.
Yeah.
The reason I was impressed with this is because it's done with an orchestra.
Yeah.
So they have strings, and you know how I am about strings. So. I don't know. I thought I listened through it once. I thought it was good. They play all the songs that you would want them to play, and yeah, that was good. So. It's just called Live. It's
okay.
For Cutie Live.
Okay.
And the name of it, it's, and it says featuring the Magic Orchestra.
Okay.
So beyond that, I cannot say. But
well, see, I like the orchestral records where bands kind of go with an orchestra. I mean, I like the Metallica one, and that's like the only Metallica record I like.
Agreed. And the Ben Folds
one.
Right, that's another good one. But yeah, strings and horns.
The Toxic Airborne Toxic Event had one.
And
that I really liked.
And
actually, you put me on to.
Oh yeah, no, that's good. And the Elbow live with the BBC Orchestra.
Yeah,
where they did what you call it, Seldom Seen Kid.
Yeah,
the whole album with an orchestra behind them. That is probably the most awesome live rendition of Grounds for Divorce ever. Just stupidly good. Full orchestra, choir, the works. You gotta love the BBC with their orchestras and their, you know, if you want to see a proper use of BBC resources, go look up the live lounge version of Earthquake by Labyrinth. It's, you've seen that, right, Tuffley?
Yes.
Yes. A small, like, quintet of singers singing probably the most hilarious way you could possibly hear a choir singing. It's going to be an earthquake up in here. Them singing up in here as proper and as choir-like as they possibly can is quite amazing. So I highly recommend that as well.
And really, if you can find any of the live lounge stuff, that was the thing with the 40th anniversary of Radio One.
Established 1967.
Yeah, and it was like a full-on album release package that they did that had like all of these covers that they had people recording.
Well, basically, if I remember correctly, what they did was, and they may have done this through Live Lounge, but it was just
– Yeah, it was a Live Lounge thing.
Well, hang on. Basically, it was like – where is it? It might have been for Live Lounge, but it was for the 40th anniversary of Radio 1.
Yeah, it was 40th anniversary of Radio 1, yeah.
And they basically had the bands pick a song from each year. So there's 40 songs. Yeah. And that is really good. I'm trying to that's where Foo Fighters did Band on the Run.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the list right now.
Well, no, the reason I link it with Live Lounge is because the Live Lounge segments that they do when artists are in, they make them cover something.
They have to cover something, yes. Which is the isn't it AV Club that basically has a list of songs and bands come in and have to play
yes,
one of them?
Yes, they have the Undercover series where it's a list of 25 songs. Yes, that's also really good to go check out.
But the other ones to look at is
I seem to recall when Bob Mould was in, he covered himself. He did a Sugar song.
Nice. Hard-Fi covers Toxic by Britney Spears.
Yeah.
The Kooks cover All That She Wants by Ace of Base. That's also quite good. So there's some stuff on there that doesn't work, but some of it is like really good. So Radio 1 established 1967. But yeah, any of the Live Lounge stuff is quite good. Another nice one is Magnetic Man. They've got a video out of them with Strings. So it's them, Strings, and I can't think of her name, the vocalist. Oh shit! Oh, Emily Sanda, right? Am I saying?
Yes.
I'm screwing up her name. Yes. But yes. Oh, fantastic.
I'll screw it up too. But yes, she's really good, and she turns up everywhere.
Yeah.
She was on the Gatsby soundtrack.
This is true.
She did the Crazy in Love cover with Brian Ferry's orchestra.
Yes, the Gatsby soundtrack, which was better than the Gatsby film.
Yes.
Quite. But yes, so there's my extended recommendations. I would start tangented. Anything Live Lounge, just go on YouTube, look for Live Lounge, BBC Live Lounge. There's plenty there, and a lot of it's good. And if you run out of stuff there, just look up Jules Holland Live and find stuff off of his New Year's specials.
And that, actually, you can just pull down full episodes of Later on YouTube.
Oh, really?
You can, yep.
Oh, okay. I've gone out looking for specific things.
Not terribly long after they've been released, too. So if you know there's a series coming, you can usually find it. Because I believe it's only on Palladium is the HD channel that it is now on in the States. So it's like very hard to find where it actually airs. So I think the BBC is apparently hopefully quite lenient on post full episodes, but yes. Well,
if you need an example, go find the Nick Cave God Is in the House from Later with Jules Holland. You've seen that, right?
Yes.
Oh God, it's fantastic. I mean, that's a great song anyway, but that's probably one of my favorite versions of it.
But the reason I recommend people find full episodes of the show is because to understand the show.
Yeah, that's true.
You need to see like at least two or three full episodes to realize, okay, what they do is they get Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds and Metallica and De La Soul and some folk band and Willie Nelson in a room, in one room, and they just circle the camera. That's what that show is.
Well, and you need to see that. So when you do see stuff from the Hootenanny, where Holland is on the keyboard a lot, you're not going, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
But no, good.
But it's like all sorts of different genres and all sorts of different bands in a room, and they just go.
Yep, that sums it up. That's that. So, yes, fully extended recommendations. I think, you know, I think for two people, we held the line on recommendations quite well.
I think we did.
And you know, the introductions have never been better. So
I know.
It's amazing.
I don't know where you're going to have time to get the theme music in there, but you know.
You know, yeah, here's what I will
do. 5 seconds of clutch. Hi.
No, no.
I'm Mike Keith Wedge.
No, even better. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take it in like SoundForge and compress it. So the entire song is 5 seconds. And then play that.
Sorry, Clutch. We love you.
No, that's just that. No, that's the Weekend Justice remix. That's all that is.
They do have a new record out, by the way.
Really?
Yes, there's a new Clutch album.
Shit.
Or a recent Clutch album. There is a recent Clutch album.
Shit. I'm behind. Okay, hang on here.
He's going to look this loading.
Well, now, the latest one I see is they've apparently put out a deluxe version of Earth Rocker. Is that it?
That could be it.
Okay.
I got a notice.
I wonder what the hell's on it. Well, I will definitely have to figure this out then.
Because... And it looks like they've released a couple of singles.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so. funny how the digital world means we're back in the world of singles now.
I know. It's great.
I like it. And oddly enough, we're back in the world of maxi singles.
Yeah.
Where you'd have like 3 or 4 B-sides.
Yep.
Come back, Seal. Come back.
He's got a divorce and kids to pay for. He's going to be back.
He'll be back. What the hell? Oh, God. Yeah, apparently they've re-released a lot of their stuff now.
Yeah, I think everybody's doing remasters, so I think that could be a remaster.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe this is just vinyl. I don't know. Now I've got to spend all evening doing a song-by-song comparison because I'm just that OCD about this stuff. So,
hey, aren't you glad I cut the introduction short then?
Oh, God, yes. So, yeah, there you'll have it. All right. Well, I think that brings us to the end of another episode of Weekend Justice, where like usual, we've seen many fall by the wayside and get run over by rocks on her bike. And, you know, but Tuffley and I have made it to the end. It's kind of like a friendlier version of the long walk, I guess.
It's podcast Thunderdome.
It is. What was it? You know, 5 people entered, 2 men leave or something like that. I don't know.
Just, I think we've won the tag team titles. I think that's what just happened.
But that's true. Therefore, Tauntaun, play something tragic. Oh God! Now and whatever you do, folks, don't think of Scott dressed as Tina Turner from Beyond Thunderdome.
They already have.
You know, but here's the thing: it's not the chainmail dress; it's the disco ball dress. There you go.
We don't need another Tina Turner.
Get out the brain bleach for that one. So, as we stagger out of Podcast Thunderdome, the only 2 survivors this week, I think it only goes to show that on occasions like this, the only thing to do is to stand around and look dazed and say, "Lunchbox."
Was there a Mad Max lunchbox?
You know what? I don't know. But you know what? I think there has to be one. No, there would be a Road Warrior one before there was a Mad Max one. Because remember, Mad Max was really obscure.
Well, but for American audiences, they'd probably have a Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome lunchbox with Tina Turner on it.
Oh, no, okay, yeah, you're talking Thunderdome. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, there would be a Beyond. I know in the U.S. market, there would probably be a Beyond Thunderdome lunchbox. And Tina Turner would be on the thermos. She wouldn't be on the front. Because, again, they only put the girls on the thermos.
Oh, no. Now, what you would do, though, is you'd have Master Blaster, right? And you'd have Master on the cup. So he unscrews from Blaster. Because they separate. See?
They separate. Yeah, I like your thinking there.
Yeah, and you have Iron Bar hanging from the handle. So it looks like he's hanging from there. I'm not seeing one.
Really? I'm surprised at that.
Not seeing one. But, you know, it's Was that?
We just did that. It just happened now. We designed that. You can come to us. We'll design your lunchbox.
What, was that even a hit? I don't even know.
Beyond Thunderdome? Oh, God, yes.
Really?
I think so.
I don't even know. Because, I mean, the thing is that because
I believe so.
Let's find out. Let's see.
It had to have been bigger in this country than the other two.
Because of Tina Turner.
Yeah.
Let's see. Domestic total gross, $36 million. And that was 1985.
Yeah.
So let me put that into 2014 dollars. About 83.
Yeah.
But we don't have foreign, and we don't have the production budget. And apparently it was 24th in that year. But bear in mind, this is a year that had, holy shit.
Yeah.
Back to the Future.
Uh-huh.
Color Purple, Out of Africa, uh-huh. Cocoon, yep. Jewel of the Nile, Witness, Goonies, Fletch, let's see, Breakfast Club, Pale Rider, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and E.T.
Yep.
Wow, 85 was a great year.
And E.T., keep in mind, E.T. was still in release in theaters. So it wasn't new.
Yeah, that was considered a reissue.
Yep. Well, in some places, it wasn't even reissued. It just stayed there.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, the domestic lifetime adjusted gross of E.T. is $1.1 billion. Damn. So there
see, that'll never happen again. That we're in the age now where films just leave the multiplex after 3 weeks.
Yeah, I know. E.T. is the last instance of that I remember. To that extent. That was
well,
in there for
Disney
like...
Disney films would come back, but E.T.
Oh, yeah. E.T. just stayed.
There was a theater in Athens. Sorry, folks. There was a theater in Athens that it was basically E.T. for like 3 years. Three good years.
I believe it.
And it was like a two-theater place. Yeah, it was a two-theater place, and one of them was E.T., and then one of them was whatever film they had that week. But one of them was always E.T.
Right. Well, I mean, if you needed to keep a kid quiet for a little while,
yeah,
and you couldn't afford – well, really, there was no other way to see it. So
– yeah.
And hell, even when VHS started – remember, kids, ask your parents – they did not have
like the versions you could buy.
Right. They were it was a $99 version that was meant for rental.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that because we got Arthur for my dad because he loved the movie so much and so did I. We paid $100 to get Arthur on VHS for my dad.
Yeah.
So there you go, kids. Shut up and are you complaining about paying 99 cents for a music track? Fuck you. I don't even want to talk about it. $100 for VHS tape. There you go. Those are the kind of prices that only happen in some sort of post-apocalyptic scenario. The market has crashed. What are we going to do? Well, I don't know. We've got this copy of Rounders on VHS. Well, that's our new currency.
Rounders? Just Rounders. Rounders.
Yeah, just Rounders. Just all plague, sort of like a cyber plague.
So is the currency simply Rounders or just the films of Matt Damon?
No, it's Rounders. Well, that's true. You could have different denominations.
Is Good Will Hunting worth more because Affleck's in it too? And how does that work?
Well, and Robin Williams won the Oscar. I mean, yes. I don't know. I mean that is something that post-apocalyptic society, after the nanobot plague, where all movies are turned at the molecular level, two Matt Damon films. That is up to the post-apocalyptic society to decide. I'm not going to dictate that because I don't want that on my conscience, you know? I don't want to – I probably won't survive the nanobot plague, and I don't want people to think, oh, well, that fucking widge.
And you just want to be the bigger person.
I want to let humanity get on, you know, because I think they're going to need time to heal, and I think they're going to have enough things to do rebuilding civilization without having to, you know, come back to this podcast in order to figure out how to use Matt Damon films as currency. You're welcome. You're welcome, survivors of humanity.
Maybe you did need another hero, humanity.
Maybe they did.
Maybe they did.
Maybe they did, and one day we'll figure out who that was. Good God. All right. I think that's it.
I think that's a podcast. I think we can call that a podcast.
We're going to call it a podcast, whether it is or not. It's definitely a podcast now.
Oh, God.
But kids, look for the lunchbox of this podcast, which will be on sale at entertainmentearth.com within the coming weeks.
So the Weekend Justice podcast, is that the one where the people keep disappearing in the box?
That's true. Yes. The people go into the lunchbox but never come out again.
Ed Lee's asleep on the thermos.
That's true. No, you open it, and again, inside the cap of the thermos is Lee.
Bees?
Bees? I think that's the question of the ages. It's simply bees.
Can we just make bees, Dakota?
Okay.
Bees.
Done.
Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Your Weekend Justice number 220, A Thermos Full of Bees, was a production of NeedCoffee.com. The show is engineered and produced by John Boutel. The league roster for this podcast was, in order of how many times they've had a horrible big wheel accident after reaching adulthood, John Boutel, Tuffley, Scott C., Serve, and Lee. This episode was directed by T. Quillen from a script by Dindrain, with additional material by James Dewar and Reinhold Berger. The one with the most jokes bombing was definitely me, Widget Walls. Special thanks to everyone who sponsors the site and makes shows like this possible. If you've already set up your easy reoccurring micropayment at needcoffee.com/support, then your vacuum flask is filled with awesome. If you haven't given, it's never too late. Go to needcoffee.com/support and throw some coins in the virtual tin. Thanks in advance for doing it. It really helps us out. And now, here's Dakota.
Bees!